I'm just a big toasty cinnamon bun. I never want to leave this bed. Uh-oh. Gotta take a whiz. Think, man, think. Think. I better get up. I'm whizzing with the door open. And I love it! Why, oh, why, Delilah!
It's 11 KBBL degrees below zero. I hope you're someplace warm.
You bet your sweet ass.
Snowing!
It's so cold in the deep. How the fuck do we supposed to keep peace? It's so cold in the deep. How the fuck do we supposed to keep peace?
Oh, Mr. Plow, that's my name. That name again is Mr. Plow.
We're still here! We're still here! We're still here! We're still here! We're still here!
We're still here. Well, I'm still chanting with Tom Brady from yesterday.
Oh, what a dork.
Was anyone chanting with him? It seemed like kind of a... It seemed like it caught on that well.
You think even Massachusetts is tired of him? Did you hear the Patriot fatigue thing?
What? Never.
Who's fatigued? Who?
The reason why the low sales...
The rest of us are fatigued.
It's Patriot fatigue, yes.
I'm slightly fatigued, but I have to admit, I'm fascinated by this guy. He's 41 years old.
Yep.
He's still getting the Super Bowl. He's hot, okay.
Hot. Makes out with his kid.
He loves Trump. He has a MAGA hat in his locker. Daniel Radcliffe is mad at him.
That is still not the worst Patriot chant of all time. That has to go to Belichick last year when they won. Do you remember his no days off chant? Do you remember that?
That's such a stupid chant. That's like the $15 an hour chant. No days off.
It is so dumb, and
especially
nobody...
is this the rally?
Yeah.
When everyone's taking the day off?
Yeah, yeah. But the Patriots, and nobody took a day off at the Patriots, which... Yeah, why would they? They're football players.
Well...
Is that it?
Yeah.
Can we play it?
Yeah, if we got it, sure.
Yeah, I gotta kill
them. No, you don't.
Does the crowd get off on it?
Yeah, of course. It's not a thing people chant.
Wait. No, it's not something to be excited about either. You don't chant about never taking a day off.
What?
Boy, is that dumb.
What is the context of that again? He no days off. Why?
That's because
they work
won
so hard.
Yeah. Oh, that's really overcomplicating.
I mean, that would be like chanting, more show prep, more show prep. I mean, you just would never chant that. Although it is a fitting chant today with 5 to 8 inches of snow falling and -3 for the high on Wednesday. And this is a sign, possibly the aging process. I ran errands this morning to get them out of the way so I don't have to run them on Wednesday.
Did you make a run for white bread and milk?
I did not, but...
I'm going to call and check in on you tomorrow.
Please do.
Make sure you're okay.
I've got one frozen bathroom in the house because we have... some insulation on some pipes, and it was unplugged for the light right there.
Yeah.
Ooh.
But nobody knew that's what that plug was for.
Oh. But it's plugged in.
But it looks like an extension cord.
Well.
I'll take full blame for that.
It's Rob's problem now.
It is Rob's problem.
Can Rob?
It's not my problem. Nothing is my problem. I have someone to address virtually every problem in my life, except my completely out of control, disheveled life took another blow on Saturday when I wanted to order a movie and the Call Xfinity thing came up. And I was like, Fortunately, no user code, so I did not spontaneously combust. But... I called Xfinity and you're past due $406 and your current bill is $400 and something. And I'm like, okay.
I'll one month it. Behind.
I'll pay it. So I pay it and you have your movie up in 3 to 5 minutes. So 3 to 5 minutes, I'm like, call Xfinity. I'm like, what? So after about 25 minutes, I call. Yeah, it's been 3 to 5 minutes. What's going on? Well, there's a limit on your pay-per-view because your bill is so high.
Oh, I'm
like, what?
Dick move.
I just paid it. I just paid it. And they're like, well, let's see. We're going to raise your limit because you always have high bills. So we're going to raise your limit, and that should do it. So she's going, okay.
Did you say, why don't you raise my limit before I called?
This isn't a spending money contest.
If you see that I order a lot of movies and my bill's always high.
You know, if you order a lot of movies, you're a good customer.
Did they say, well, we got to adjust our algorithm, because that's what businesses like to say.
They didn't exactly say that, but it all worked out.
God, that sucks.
I know. So
how annoying.
The point is, we're still here. We're still here. In spite of all these things, we're still here.
We're still here. We're still here.
Amen.
Still are you okay?
We're still here.
Facebook Live will be brought to you by Mesa. If you're looking for the hottest Super Bowl party this year, check out Mesa Tacos and Tequila. Do I call it Mesa Tequila and Tacos sometimes?
Well,
I think I do.
When the tequila comes first, sometimes tacos come first.
True. They've got them both in large supplies. Enjoy the 35-foot TV, free nacho bar at halftime, plus free jerseys and Super Bowl swag bags. You might want to call for a reservation at Mesa. And remember, too, they've got Margarita Mondays with $3 fresh squeeze margaritas. All you can eat taco Tuesdays, open mic night Wednesdays, trivia Thursday. It's all followed up with local live music over the weekend. And remember, mention the Drew and Mike show and get 10% off your meal right on the spot. So there you go. Mesa between 3rd and 4th in downtown Royal Oak. And we are about 20 minutes away from Sheila E.
Is it safe to say that you're having the kind of day that Tom Brokaw did on Twitter last night? Did you read his individual tweets?
I didn't. I'm really curious to hear about him, though.
Are they as garbled as his speech?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're kidding.
No, it's really, I mean, aside from what he said, whatever, you can have your own opinion about that.
I honestly don't think what he said was as controversial as they're trying to make it, because I think he was more than anything, it's the, I don't know if people want brown grandbabies. That statement to me rose well above the other
the assimilation
things he said.
A lot of this we don't want to talk about, but the fact is, on the Republican side, a lot of people see the rise of an extraordinary, important new constituency in American politics, Hispanics, who will come here and all be Democrats. Also, I hear when I push people a little harder, I don't know whether I want brown grandbabies. I mean, that's also a part of it. It's the intermarriage that is going on and the cultures that are conflicting with each other. I also happen to believe that the Hispanics should work harder at assimilation. That's one of the things I've been saying for a long time. You know, that they ought not to be just codified in their communities, but make sure that all their kids are learning to speak English and that they feel comfortable in the communities, and that's going to take outreach on both sides, frankly.
Great story, Grandpa.
Why do you talk that way?
Don't most Hispanics assimilate?
Some are insulated communities. Yeah, not
like every ethnicity.
I don't think that comment, and you could say the same thing about a lot of Muslims, couldn't you?
Right.
Yeah, but specifically, don't Hispanics tend to assimilate much better than any ethnic group?
I'm not going to act like I'm an expert, because I don't know. I don't know why Tom Brokaw thinks he knows so much. As far as speaking English, I think this is maybe a problem. I'm not going to say it's just with Hispanics. I mean, I think when you come to America, if you're not speaking English well, I think it's very difficult. I think it's problematic.
There's enough Spanish
around. I don't know if it's a big problem in,
There are opportunities for those people to learn, though. They set forth people who are English-speaking teachers for them.
If I was in France and I was going to live there, I would want to speak French, and I'd want to speak it well.
Sure.
Yeah.
But a lot of people speak English over there. You could get away with it.
Don't you think most people that speak Spanish here, that's their native tongue, are bilingual?
I would think so.
Especially second generation.
I'm just not going to act like I'm an expert, though. I don't know, and I don't know why he thinks he knows. Or
I don't know why he brought
any of that up. But honestly, did the brown grandbabies kind of leap out?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the one that I was
going. He's an old timer, huh? Just look at him. Oh, he's so cute. Oh, just look
that's
at him.
That's all I can think of.
Remember when Megyn Kelly cut him off? Where was she when this was? Finished?
Hey, wait, time out. Serious issue,
remember
shall
this
thought.
Is coming out of his mouth.
Serious issue, shall thought. I thought he was Me Too'd. What's he doing out there?
He was Me
Too'd. He should be shut down.
By multiple women.
So why is he even talking?
Because he's an old timer. Just look at him. He's so cute.
Why does his Me Too not matter? Why is his Me Too mean nothing? Because he's Tom Brokaw?
It doesn't matter for Tom Brokaw yet.
Why?
A guy that made them a ton of money for a long time, and Matt Lauer gets booted really fast. There's no standard on Me Too and who gets booted and who doesn't.
And by the way,
it's kind of the fun of it.
I think I was watching the Today Show this morning, and I don't think I saw that story. Was that story featured on the Today Show?
I didn't watch the Today Show. We can look for it.
It was on Good Morning America. Yeah, very prominent on Good Morning America.
Cecilia Vega, yikes.
Where Brian Babikian, the Spike King, will be featured on Thursday. Brian is at the Super Bowl. He's our correspondent. Are you familiar with Brian? Spike King?
I am not.
Oh, thanks for
I was trying to catch up.
Turning into Maz?
I know. I was trying to catch up on Ted Bundy and then 60 Minutes.
Oh, how'd you like Ted Bundy, by the way? Did you watch
it? Nice deflect.
Yeah,
isn't that wild?
Nice redirect. Oh,
Ted, where you at?
Did you think it was good?
Yeah, I think
I
it was
still
great.
Think he's hot. You still think he's hot? Is he?
No, okay. He's not at all. I don't think I ever did think he was hot.
I thought once when we were coming up with your bracket. I thought once you maybe mentioned that.
Well,
he was pretty
I thought, you know,
be a high seed.
It's a low bar
in the group. You know, like sure. Manson and the Crazy Eyes and Dahmer and the slacker pasty face. I mean, among those,
Ted Bundy or Tsarnaev, the Boston Marathon bomber that everyone thought was so hot on the cover of Rolling Stone.
Oh, that guy, yeah.
Tsarnaev, no.
You don't like him? You look like Jim Morrison. Trudy, that guy's at least a two seed.
Okay, maybe. Maybe.
Plus his first name's Joker, isn't
it? Because Ted Bundy, yeah. So Ted Bundy.
Well, that's his brother.
But what about his chameleon-like abilities? I mean, he has to look hotter in certain pictures, doesn't he?
Someone actually put him next to Morrison.
Oh, yeah, okay. All right, I see it.
See?
The bomber.
No, I think if with an open mind, you might dig him.
Right. I did not know as many of his personality quirks with the constant laughing and the...
Oh, Bundy?
That was
so
just...
in other words, you think he's hot, but his personality turned you off a bit.
Oh, yeah.
The Bundy problem, they call it.
Although the fact that he dieted down so far so that he could fit through space in the roof of the jail. Wow.
You have to be amazed by the discipline of this guy.
I mean,
he was focused on, he murdered 30 people and look how far he got. And he got out and he got all the way across the country, 45 days.
Yeah.
I mean, he was good at what he did.
There but for winter weather, and we would have had that situation happening at U of M, but he didn't like the climate, so he just kept headed south.
Too bad somebody didn't beat his ass at that bar.
Oh, my God! I was so proud of Michigan at that moment.
That was really...
Oh, we should have beat him up. Disappointed.
I thought that was one of the better binge watches I've seen
in quite a while.
It was really good. If you like true crime, it's the Ted Bundy special. That is the name of it.
Ted Bundy Tapes.
You know,
I like the Ted Bundy special better. Yeah. It wasn't the Ted Bundy special, really.
Yes. Yeah, it was.
Like the midnight special. The thing that got me, though, was...
Sorry, his personality turned you off so much. That's what a shame that is.
It was hilarious watching the courtrooms in Florida, though. They're like, hear ye, hear ye. Yeah. What the hell decade was it? Yep. And then his thing where he's, when I smoke dope, I like to hallucinate a little bit.
What? He said that?
Yeah, I know. That was
talking about.
That was very interesting.
His wife Carol bringing the drugs in vaginally, and then he would take them back to his cell anally.
Hot.
So they had some sort of.
Everyone took that away from the Ted Bundy special.
Like a good old V to A.
Yeah.
What?
Hot.
By the way, 52 minutes into the Today Show, no mention of Brokaw. No mention whatsoever.
That's very interesting.
I'm going to print out his tweets for him for you so you can read them.
Yeah, well, let's talk about his tweets in a minute, but we got Sheila E. coming up. And by the way, Matt saw Sheila E. with Earth, Wind, and Fire at Shane Park, and he said she was just really out. He went to see Earth, Wind, and Fire. He said it was just a great show, you know, if you are a fan, and she was a big part of Prince. She was engaged to Prince. I forgot about that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what her Wikipedia page.
Where was she in the line of Prince women? Like what year?
Apollonia?
89 they were engaged.
Still post-Apollonia?
I think she's post-Apollonia. Hmm. I thought, by the way, who's the hottest Prince chick?
Is it Apollonia?
Apollonia.
I kind of want to say Apollonia after seeing Purple Rain recently, that she's topless. She makes her go in the water.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's nice.
She was pretty.
And she goes in the water?
Yeah. Is it politically incorrect to mention a girl's tits before her face? Because I think she's beautiful, too.
Yeah, good job, Steve
that
Martin.
That scene really caught my attention.
Or intelligence.
Good job, Steve Martin.
I Googled Prince teen photo, and it actually gave me his high school basketball team photo.
I know, team photo, really, that term needs to grow, I think.
And yeah.
Somebody sent me something really funny. It was a female. She knows who she is. And she said the whole team photo idea really had her thinking. Not only about airbrushing people out of her own team photo, but of the team photos that she's in.
Oh,
yeah.
I never thought of it that way. I mean, that's you start going, oh,
ugh.
Ew. Yeah. Where am I in that team? I don't want to be in that team photo.
Well, I just have shame involved in my
How can, well,
what
how
are you thinking?
I know, you can't feel, as a guy, it sounds like, oh, look at my team photo. Some hotties in there.
So you want more of a Jeter, not a Matt Stairs? Is that what you're saying?
Well.
Was it Matt Stairs that played for like 20 teams in the major leagues?
Yeah, oh yeah. And he played a long, 22 years, 23 years.
So you want a date a Jeter, not a Matt Stairs.
Well,
always.
I guess.
Everybody has problems with their team photo.
Yeah, but sometimes.
But I never thought of myself being in other people's team photos
either.
Yeah,
you are.
That's really, no, it's weird. Anyway, great time to tell you that listeners keep telling us how much they love Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram because they go above and beyond their customers. Whenever listeners need something from Jeff Schneider, the general manager, and Thad Zot, the owner, they go the extra mile for you. They dive in and handle it themselves. They don't just hand it off to some Maz-like character. Just call either location. Ask for Jeff Sell. He'll work with you directly. I wonder how much brushing off of cars
matters.
Ooh, it's got to be bad. It just started snowing here.
Should we call him?
We should call him.
Later, yeah.
During Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram's 2019 Auto Show event, you can lease the truck of the year, a new 19 Ram 1500 Bighorn Crew Cab for just $169 a month. And Zot will double your auto show bonus cash. That's big. These extras make a big difference. Zot doubles your auto show bonus cash when you lease a new 19 Jeep Compass Limited for $199 a month. There's also awesome auto show deals on Wrangler at Zot with employee pricing for everyone on the 18 Jeep Wranglers in stock. No discount number needed. It's always good to buy the previous year early the next year if you want to get a deal. Simply show and get employee price on a brand new Wrangler only at dealsinthed.com. And then our friends at Adam, founded here in Metro Detroit in 1988, a little over 30 years ago when Adam started. Gas was 91 cents a gallon. Die Hard was in movie theaters. Let's see, the Dodgers won the World Series. Isn't the Oral Hershiser year?
Which year? I'm sorry.
88? The Gibson Homer year.
Mm-hmm. So an Oral broke the scoreless inning record, right?
Yeah. I thought that record would never be broken. Adam is the American Divorce Association for Men, dedicated to representing men in divorce and making sure they're treated fairly. Give Adam a call. They can explain the law to you and what can be done to protect your rights. If you become a client, you'll be represented by a firm that's pioneered the concept of fair treatment for men in court. Call Adam, 248-284-4280. 248-284-4280. Who won the Super Bowl in 88? Was that the
88-87 season, Denver and Washington? Is that where the Redskins were down 10-0 after the first Jimmy Smith game?
I was rooting for
the Williams game. Yeah, Jimmy Smith. What happened to Jimmy Smith? Where's that guy?
I don't know. He disappeared after that game.
He did. That was weird.
That was the game I was very upset.
It's like weird.
After the first quarter. I don't think I cried like I did at the 83 Super Bowl. As a Redskin fan for some reason. But
it was like weird.
I remember my dad's
It was weird.
My dad goes, there's 3 quarters left. And then they won like 45-10.
Didn't Elway throw a touchdown on the first pass of the game, maybe?
Oh, boy, he might
have. I'm going to say Denver scored real early in that game.
Who's the quarterback?
It was like
Skins then.
Weird.
A black guy. Doug Williams.
Ah, yeah, I remember that game.
The black dude.
I mean, it kind of sucks. It's like,
I mean, there are more black dudes, so that, you know.
Yeah, but he was the first black quarterback.
Was he the first?
Yeah.
He was the first to win a Super Bowl. He was the first black quarterback.
He was black.
Yeah.
The first black quarterback to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah. Wasn't he who was the first black quarterback in the NFL? Was it
Steelers?
Oh yeah, Joe Gilliam.
Yeah,
and then it was Vince Evans.
Well, I think there was one way back, but you know,
okay.
Don't you
interesting? I mean, I got to tell you, I was fascinated reading the USA Today story. Speaking of NFL history, it is Super Bowl week.
I used to be able to throw a pigskin quarter mile.
USA Today did a story today about what happened to Ray Lewis's cream-colored suit. 19 years ago at the Super Bowl, the week of, two people were murdered in a brawl outside a club, and Ray Williams and his limo full of buddies.
Ray Lewis.
What did I call him?
Williams.
Oh, you're still thinking of Doug Williams.
Ray, yeah, Ray Lewis. And I've always been amazed that Ray Lewis is on pregame shows, and he's so celebrated now. And
loves
it seems that,
God.
Yeah, he talks about God all the time. And if you, you know, were involved in the murder of two people, I guess you would probably need God. But, you know, the bottom line is they couldn't seem to find some things that would have been very helpful in convicting him. And one of them was a cream-colored suit that some people suggested was bloody.
I'm sure it turned into a pink suit.
It it absolutely disappeared.
Get a real suit, dude.
And over the years, it's become apparent that some other people in that limo had some clothes that were missing, including somebody who was in the shower, and he said he got out of the shower, and his clothes were gone. Somebody was...
That happens to me all the time.
I know, it's weird. It's crazy. It's like, weird.
Only when I hang out with Ray Lewis, though.
And some clothes were piled up and dumped in a fast food dumpster that morning for some crazy reason, including a cream-colored suit that nobody could ever quite figure out where it went, including Ray Lewis. He was asked. He's even said, I think he's been in civil suits. He did pay a settlement out of love and sympathy. He said, not guilt. And as the obstruction, he had directed other people in the limo to shut up, to not speak. And that was why he was charged with obstruction. He also gave very few names. He left out a number of names of people in the limo when he was originally interviewed by police.
Who else was in it?
Friends of his.
So witnesses couldn't be called.
Exactly.
Yeah. Told him not to talk.
Yes. So he was charged with obstruction. But
it's nice that he's going back there, though, as part of the coverage.
That's really... And 19, on the 19, yeah, in the city where it happened, mm-hmm. He's back there. And I wonder how much time... What's he work for ESPN now?
Yeah.
How much time will they spend on this story?
Oh, zero.
ESPN seems to believe in the right thing all the time. Do you think they would cover this?
He was found, and he's not charged.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Although he's found guilty of perjury, right? Wasn't he found guilty of something?
Obstruction.
Yeah.
He pleaded guilty to obstruction.
Okay. But he's also a rat.
I don't know. That one is, it's amazing how.
Snitches get stitches.
Will Ray Carruth be doing the pregame show in another 5 years or so? I don't know. Just saying.
OJ.
Juice.
Yeah, OJ, Ray Carruth, Ray Lewis.
For sure.
Brian Blades. It's crazy.
Maybe get Ray Rice in there.
Yeah, you could get quite a lineup. Sheila E. in a couple minutes. Many have so many misconceptions about eye surgery. What we do know is you're tired of glasses, contacts, reading glasses, and prescriptions, and you're frustrated because you take them out, put your glasses down, and you still can't see. Dr. Yaldo, Michigan's most experienced eye surgeon, will allow many of you to throw away all that ancient technology and walk out of his office with 20/20 vision or better and start your lifestyle free from glasses and contacts. From custom CATS LASIK, the most advanced in the world, to the Rolls-Royce procedure, multifocal lens implants for people 50+, Dr. Yaldo has done some 50,000 combined procedures. Bottom line is the evaluation is free, and they do have glasses there, too, if you decide, you know, I'm just not ready for this, but I need some cool new frames. You got nothing to lose by making the call, 1-800-398-EYES, and if you have a fresh health savings account or tax return coming, use it to change your life. 1-800-398-EYES, or go to YaldoEyeCenter.com. And Steve Guire and the hottest sales staff in Oakland County want to give you a big shout-out. And wish you a happy new year. And also, get your ass out there because they're clearing the cars. Right now, Maz is risking a heart attack to get you out to Zot Ford.
Damn it.
And the North American International Auto Show deals are still in effect. And you can celebrate with Zot Ford's annual auto show extravaganza, including the insane rebates and massive auto show bonus cash. A 19 Ford Fusion Hybrid as low as $82 a month with zero cash due. The new 19 Ford all-wheel drive Escape as low as $131 a month. And then if the 19, well, the number one selling truck in America, probably the biggest brand in America for cars or trucks, right?
Right.
The Ford F-150, Super Crew 4x4, $112 a month. From dealsinthed.com and Zot Ford and Holly, and the Hall Financial Hotline will be activated shortly because Sheila E. will be with us. And also Brian, the Spike King later, and David Hall and Hall Financial. are those killer refi guys. Or if you want to purchase a home, mostly it seems to be mostly refis that people go to them for, and they're very happy with them. They got all the five-star reviews, over 500, because they put you first. 72% of their business is referral because realtors trust them, their clients love them. So hopefully if you're not interested or you have a good experience, maybe you'll refer someone else. Don't just take it from us, though. Listen to this happy customer. If you're going to work with somebody in the Metro Detroit area, Hall Financial is your team. All the way through, they were attentive, made the process easy, checked in with me every 2 days, even if there was no news. On top of elite service, I closed 2 weeks early. Even the sellers were impressed. That's what Hall Financial does. They go to work for you, and they are great at getting back to you and contact and information and making sure it's very comfy, easy, and you save money. So go to drewandmike.hallfg.com, or you can click the link on the Drew and Mike podcast webpage, or you can call 248-308-5000. You won't be disappointed. NMLS number 1467435. So there. And Sheila Efer coming up. Yeah. She played with Ringo, too. She's been on 3 Ringo tours.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's kind of cool as a, you know, chick watching another chick be a drummer.
No, she is big time. She's really cool.
How many other great female drummers are there? I mean, she at least is the best female drummer, isn't she?
Got to be the best known. I don't know. You know, some of those.
Meg White. She's, White. Better, she's better than Meg White.
I think so.
Wasn't Karen Carpenter a drummer?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Karen Carpenter's wailed.
Really moving that bar up.
There's the Skillet drummer, that new band, Skillet. She's pretty hot.
Brandon up on his female drummers.
Ah, that's a niche category.
I can't remember her name, though.
What about the band Kitty? They had a female drummer.
Yeah, they had a female everything.
I think Karen Carpenter's fills are very underrated.
No, they're not.
It's ridiculous.
I think they're appropriately rated.
Speaking of her as a drummer is really strange. Laughable. I don't know why.
Don't forget that Sheila E. was also the band leader for The Magic Hour, starring Irving Magic Johnson Jr.
What? Wow, that's not in her Wikipedia page, I don't think. Or is? Yeah, of course it is in there. Yeah, that's right.
That is what a great thing to have on your resume.
She was Prince's musical director, too.
No,
that's
I know,
a big deal.
But the Magic
that's
Hour?
A big deal.
How long did that last?
I want to say like 4 months.
Did that last longer than Chevy?
Yes, I think it did. Chevy was 6 weeks. That's the biggest. To me, that's the fail. That's the talk show fail of all time.
But for some reason, I feel like everyone mentions Magic because it's not really his realm.
And it was so funny. It was one of those.
Big Magic Johnson. What has he done?
Why did they?
Sort of a hate love watch.
Well,
could not watch it.
He's likable. He just can't talk.
No, he was horrible.
Magic Johnson is irrelevant in this thing.
It's just funny. You know something? Everyone loves Magic.
Yeah.
Why couldn't he do a talk show?
Just put him on, yeah.
He's so likable.
He's good as a guest sometimes.
He's not bad as a guest.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's true.
The Magic Hour.
Brandon's doing his Sheila E. interview.
Oh, his pre. Yeah.
I wish we could listen in on his interview.
I was sweating his beak. That's true. We should have a means. Like a switch.
A little microphone, a secret mic over there. Sheila E. is performing at
Motor
City Soundboard. February the 7th. We all remember Sheila E., of course, and Sheila E.'s been playing around here. She's been playing all over the place. Sheila E., are you there?
I am here.
I just want to tell you right off the bat, I talked to a friend who went to see Earth, Wind & Fire at Shane Park in August about 5 months ago, and he said, you were fantastic, and he mentioned your Prince medley, said you played some great covers of Sly and the Family Stone and the Staple Singers. I don't want to give the show away. He just said it was a fantastic show, and they were really there to see Earth, Wind & Fire, but he said you really stole the show.
Oh, well, that's very kind.
I was kind of blown away because, you know, and he's a big Earth, Wind & Fire fan, too. So, anyway.
So am I.
Yeah, and he said they were jamming side stage when you were jamming. So there.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we've been friends for so long. I mean, when Earth, Wind & Fire first came out, they were opening for my dad's band, Azteca. When my dad had his band, Azteca, they were signed. My dad was signed to Clive Davis with CBS Records, like 70, ooh, early 70s. So they were all out on tour together. So we've known Verdeen and well, then Maurice and Philip, we've known all those guys for so many years. So they're family.
We were trying to come up with some female drummers that could compete with you, and I'd have to tell you the list didn't get very long.
There are many great women who actually play drums who are incredible and could play rings around me, but it's not a competition, really. It's just, I think the cool thing about it now is there are a lot of women that are playing because of me and some others who have started, you know, very young, and they watched us grow as artists and musicians, and they were inspired to do the same.
Well, looking at some of the people you've played with, you must have been playing so young, because didn't you play with Marvin Gaye?
I did, in 82, his last tour. Yeah, but I started professionally with my dad at 15.
Wow.
Uncle, or did it say it was in Santana? Did you ever tour or sit backstage or...
Carlos, yeah, with Santana, my dad and my uncle were both in Santana in Carlos's band, and then at one point Carlos and I were engaged we were going to be married. So again, grew up in the environment of having a lot of great artists, but yeah, my dad and my uncle as well played in Santana.
Wow. And then Prince, I was reading up on you, of course, because we're going to talk to you, and it said you met Prince in 1978, and I couldn't help but wonder, because that's really before he breaks. What was Prince like in 1978?
The same as he was before he passed. He's still the same. I mean, he was, you know, he had his moments, but he, back then, I mean, the only thing that was different is, you know, introducing him at the very beginning to my dad's music. Mm-hmm. Latin jazz music, he'd never heard of Latin jazz music. So to see me play with my dad and my family, he was just blown away, and he just overwhelmed by, oh my God, you know, where did you guys come from? Like, you're so lucky you get to play with your dad and your family. So he was very inspired by that and wanted to do the same with his dad, you know, to be able to play with his dad as well.
It's crazy, because when we think of Prince, we think of, you know, the image we get as the public, but, you know, you're around him a lot. What's, like, the most normal thing he would do? Of course, we have Charlie Murphy talking about, you know, we know what great basketball player he is, but what's, like, a normal Prince thing that he did all the time that would maybe we would find surprising?
Breakfast.
Oh, I wouldn't have no idea. I mean, it's just, he was normal to me, so I don't know what normal, what.
But, like,
normal
when we saw him riding a bike, it's like, oh, wow, yeah, of course he would ride a bike, but that's not the Prince.
No, you know,
we would figure he would just float to a store.
yeah, right.
I mean, is there something he, I don't know, maybe a hobby that would surprise us that he did?
No.
Nothing?
Not really.
All right. I guess he is he's exactly like we think he is.
Yes.
He's Prince. Whose wardrobe was bigger?
His, of course.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, just larger than life always. And you got to play with Ringo's All-Star Band on three or four tours, too. You know, inside of all these projects you have, I saw the Ringo All-Star Band, I think, twice. And I always had a ball because there's so many great people in the band. What was touring with Ringo's All-Star Band like?
It was really incredible because I have a great bucket list of things I'd like to do in my life, and never thought I'd be able to play with, let alone meet, but play with Ringo. I admire him as a drummer, and I didn't know him as a person. And, you know, growing up listening to the Beatles, I was one of those young girls that screamed at the top of my lungs when I saw them on Ed Sullivan and fell in love with all of them. He's witty. Sense of humor is he's funny, really. But an incredible drummer. I mean, I really had to, step back and learn the way that he played drums, and that was interesting because it's like learning to watch someone walk and learning how to walk like they walk. So his swing was different. The way he did fills on the drums, I was always behind where I thought I would do a fill. He was already ahead of me, and I had to figure it out. And his simplicity was very complicated. And once I figured out what it was, then I was like, okay, now I get it. It was pretty awesome to be able to, like, break that down and figure out why he plays the way that he does.
Now, people have been breaking down Beatles songs for, you know, 50, 55 years, and still people are talking about some of the, you know, the great bottom end on so many of those Beatles songs. And, of course, they're remastered, and they sound better than ever. And it always seems like Ringo, for so long, didn't get his due, and maybe he'll someday he will. Because I think the Beatles were lucky they had Ringo. Of course he was lucky to work with them, but he was the right guy.
Yeah.
He was. And he's an incredible guy, and even the stories we got to hear that he would tell. I mean, it's pretty incredible. Again, how they even recorded their songs and what they did, and you know, there were times when they were performing live. He said sometimes he didn't even have a drum set. I mean, women were screaming so loud they didn't even know he didn't have a drum set. You know, they were just cymbals on stage. Their gear didn't show up, and you're just going, "You got to be kidding!" He goes, "No one ever knew." That's crazy.
Hey, I want to know what else is on the bucket list.
Oh, my gosh. I don't think we have enough time, but the bucket list is pretty cool because I've done a lot of great things. But I would say that some of the newer things I like to do, I do have my foundation called Elevate Oakland. So we're just trying to expand in Oakland. We use music and arts for kids. We raise money and help the teachers and teaching about music and the arts of music and the arts itself. So we want to expand. So that's one of our bucket lists to, you know, expand what we're doing, because people are asking, hey, can you elevate Denver? Can you elevate, you know, San Jose? Can you elevate other cities? So once we get that curriculum, that's at the top of my list for right now.
That's not the bucket list item I was expecting to hear, but that's very nice. What about your favorite drummers? Do you have anybody who you just say, oh, my God, I just can't believe what that guy does, just in terms of being spectacular? You know, I don't know who I'm thinking of, but maybe Ginger Baker
Bonzo.
Or somebody like that. Yeah, Bonzo.
Well, you know, the thing is there's so many up-and-coming drummers that are incredibly talented and amazing, and a lot of the drummers now as well don't just play drums. They play organ and keyboards and bass, and they're just multi-talented these days, so it's pretty cool. But I mean, you know, growing up for me, I was listening to all different kind of drummers, Buddy Rich and Tony Williams, and but when I first met Billy Cobham, I thought he was insane, because what he was able to do and his technique of warming up for shows and standing against a wall and doing these paradiddles and having a conversation like it was nothing and raising his arms as high as he could with the same intensity, and the rhythms never changed. He just did crazy things, and I took a lot of the way that he played and how he set up his drums and how he tuned them. I learned a lot from him early on, and I was like 15, 16 then.
As a percussionist, do you get a little bummed at how pervasive drum machines are and maybe electronic music being done on a computer instead of with live instruments?
Not at all.
Not at all?
No. No, I love technology. I love everything about technology and how things are moving and what you can do and what we couldn't do back then we can do now, you know, even as far as mixing and, you know, tape is gone, digital is in, and the drum machines. And everyone was, at one point when disco music came in, a lot of drummers were afraid they weren't going to have a gig. But, you know, for me, I incorporated, I always used drum machines until I as well played drums with it or played percussion on top of the drum machines. So I incorporated all of that. I love drum machines.
I have to ask you about Keith Moon, because I've been listening to a lot of Who music lately, and you and I are close in age. He's so all over the place, but I love the bottom end on those Who songs. Do you have any thoughts on Keith?
No, Keith is amazing. I mean, the Who, it's one of those bands that you just, which is great. I grew up listening to the Who, Jefferson Starship, Grateful Dead, you know, Carlos Santana, all of these bands that, Rolling Stones, I mean, Chicago. I mean, all of those bands, that's what I grew up listening to, and horn players and, you know, guitars. And to have those bands still around and play and do what they're doing and what they've done, I mean, go back and listen to the music. I mean, it's still relevant as far as I'm concerned. You know, a good song is a good song.
Yeah, it just won't go away.
No.
You're playing at the Soundboard at Motor City on Thursday, February the 7th, and I hope you have a great crowd out there. I'm sure you will. And Sheila E., it's so nice to talk to you. I'm so glad you're still out there banging it up.
Absolutely.
And thank you for coming on early with us today.
You're welcome. Not a problem. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we've got about 5 to 7 inches of snow pouring down right now. So,
get ready.
I heard, and I hope it's melting. Not doing that so we can fly in and do the show. I hope it goes away.
It will.
A couple of weeks. We'll work it for you. Thanks, Sheila.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Sheila E. I'm not telling you, Matt wouldn't shut up about that show at Shane Park. He just said she was in the crowd. She said she was just wild.
Yeah, she is
just awesome. Great performer.
One of those people who's just born to entertain, and it didn't hurt that she had great parents.
It's in the genes.
Or like that, yeah.
Here she is drumming for the Magic Hour. Dancing with Magic.
I got to see this.
Oh, my God. I mean,
she seems way more comfortable than he does. What a great song. Are you ready for Magic?
You just heard it.
Hey, did Magic that. Johnson, what has he done?
Well, this is from the infamous Howard Stern appearance on the Magic Hour, because Howard is just a rip it to shreds. Which is smart of them to have him on.
I have a feeling Magic might have been overmatched on that
Magic one. Johnson is irrelevant in this thing.
What's interesting is the other guest of that episode was Karen McDougal, which just seems really odd.
What?
Yeah.
Karen McDougal?
Yeah.
Wait, Magic had a bone up on Whitewater for this episode?
Well, Karen McDougal then. It was just because she was in Playboy.
Oh, Karen McDougal.
Karen McDougal.
I was thinking of the one in
Jim
Whitewater.
McDougal.
Different
Jim
kind of bone that he was doing.
The one that went to prison for 2 years because she wouldn't testify about Whitewater.
Right, yeah.
White man.
I wonder if she's glad she gave up those 2 years now. Doesn't that seem silly?
Yes. I read a fascinating article about you that they got a hold of you and gave you a speech coach, and they gave you what other kind of coach? Interview coach. For crying out loud, what do you need? Anybody can interview. It's very simple. But what they're doing is they're tripping you up. Okay. Everybody's anti-Ebonics. I say let it fly. Should I call you Irvin?
Either or.
I'll call you Irvin.
Okay.
Because everyone else calls you
Big
Matt.
Big Magic right. Johnson.
Irvin,
what is he doing?
What you need to do, my brother, is to really get down with it. Everyone's trying to get you to talk like the white man. I think this show should loosen up and you talk Ebonics all you want.
Okay. All right.
I know what I'm saying? Because it's ridiculous. I see you having trouble out there because everyone's confusing you. What? Now, who is the speech coach? Because it's got to be hung from the rafters.
And I just love how he takes over an interview.
I know. He always does.
He's screwing you up. What is the name of this gentleman? I want to know the speech coach.
His name is Arthur.
Arthur, what the hell are you doing to Magic? Man's getting out here trying to talk like the white man. Listen, you're a black man. I grew up in the black neighborhood.
Magic hasn't said a word.
I'm the blackest black man you'll ever meet.
Okay.
And I'm telling you right now, when I lived in Roosevelt, Long Island, which is a black ghetto, everybody, Eddie Murphy comes from there. Everybody talked like this. This is the way I talk when I'm... I was a big marble mouth. But you know what? It was fascinating because I was one of the people. And I believe you should go to that. I know you want to go to that.
Well, you know what?
Why does everybody have to understand every word you say? Who cares what you got to say?
Understand
this. Who cares what you have to say?
Understand this, though. Now, you can't, talking slang on TV all the time.
Yes, you can
use a little bit of it.
Of course you can.
A little bit of it.
Big Magic Johnson, what have you done?
Listen, white America, who gives a rat's ass about white America? There's plenty of black people around, plenty of Hispanic. What is Sheila E. anyway? I don't even know. She's mulatto. You walk around the halls, you try to figure out what race everybody is. I don't even know. But what I'm saying, you got blacks, you got a lot of white
people terribly happy.
Talk all black. Yeah, I'm saying there's enough of those people. We got Jay Leno and Letterman. They're all talking white. Those guys went to the finest schools. You got
to
get on there and just mix it up.
Magic Johnson. Right.
Where'd you
went
to Michigan State?
I'm from Michigan. Hold on.
Is that a black area?
Hey, we got to pay some bills.
We got to pay some bills.
We'll
come back.
And I'm going to
talk to you
more with Howard Stern. And when we come back, he's going to get to ask me anything he wants, okay? Anything he wants, he's going to ask.
Oh, that's gorgeous. That is awesome.
Oh, my. Well,
Jesus. 8 weeks, by the way.
I'm sorry, Sheila. He wasn't happy about that. She seemed very nice. Hey, I want to mention the SAG Awards. I don't know why. Who cares about the SAG Awards? But Black Panther won Best Picture.
Oh.
And Rami Malek won Best Actor. is anybody shocked that this Queen movie is doing this kind of business in awards?
Yeah.
A little bit, because he got hammered by the critics, but he's playing a real person, and they love when that happens.
But Queen, I mean, Queen's a big band. Don't get me wrong.
I haven't seen it, but he looked like Queen.
Not that big in the States. They were big. I mean, I'm not trying to minimize Queen. I think they should be bigger. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe this is the thing that sort of has blown Queen up to where they should be, because in the UK, Queen is a monster.
I'm happy with it, though, because Bradley Cooper didn't win, so that's cool.
Again. Oh,
if I see that performance with Gaga, oh, my God. And, you know, when she starts singing, it becomes quite apparent that he does not belong on the stage.
He should have left the stage.
Yeah. But it's cool when he played air guitar.
Yeah.
Boogie a little bit. That was great.
What did Brandon's prep say? Something about the guy from The Hangover playing air guitar.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Thanks for listening to the podcast.
Damn, it stings. It hurts.
It does. He's
a stinger. It's a big stinger.
I
think the term should be banned temporarily.
All right.
No.
Well, it would be if people listen.
Well,
the highlight of the SAG Awards has to be Jeffrey Owens in the beginning, because we were leaving yesterday and you had it on and we just started bursting out in laughter.
It's so dumb. What is that intro? I am an actor.
Oh, I know.
Get over yourself. Fuck you.
They've been doing that for years on the SAG Awards.
It's so annoying. It's like, I am an actor. Yeah, we're watching the SAG Awards, the Screen Actors Guild Awards. We know you're an actor.
Wait, he's getting a giant round of applause because he's a failure as an actor and had to work at Trader Joe's.
Somebody took a shame picture of Trader Joe's and
my life,
he gets jobs.
I found myself in the dark wood of unemployment and debt. But instead of switching careers like the same person, I took a job at a local Trader Joe's.
And somebody took a picture of you,
my career.
Tried to shame you.
And you'd still be there for a while.
People bailed your ass out.
I'm Jeffrey Owens.
And I'm a cause.
I am an actor.
I would have said no. Why is he there?
He's an actor.
No, he's not nominated for anything.
No.
What, how often?
Just a struggling actor with a thick, meaty cock.
Are his dues
up today?
Reminds
me of this kid that used to get bullied, and we played mall ball with him one day, and everybody fake tackled him and let him go run wild for a while. You felt sorry for him.
Why did he have cancer?
Isn't that kind of what him? Why is he there?
Mall ball.
Well, it was also called Smear the Queer. Another name for the same game.
Oh, evolved from
Smear the Queer. I know that guy, it was not just an Illinois thing.
No, we played
it here.
Yeah.
Growing up,
I realized that was not the right thing to call the game. Just saying.
Did you guys have any idea of what you were saying?
No, we didn't. I honestly did not know what a homosexual was.
It's just rhymed.
I had no idea. I don't know. I don't know where that came from, but I've heard other people say, yeah, we used to play Smear the Queer. And it's like, wow, it's like Richard Gere and the Gerbil. Everyone knows it. I don't know why everyone knows it. Or Rod Stewart getting his stomach pumped.
Right.
It's just one of those things
that
went everywhere. So the other thing was, let's see, the Ali guy won supporting. I don't know what his first name is.
Oh, Muhammad Ali's kid?
I guess so.
Is it Malahat?
The Green Book guy?
Mahershala.
He's also in True Detective. He's fantastic in True Detective.
He's great.
It sounds like he was well-earned. Glenn, I don't know what else to say. Glenn Close won Best Actress. I guess she's going to win, isn't she? Because she's been nominated 7 times for the Oscar and she's never won.
Well, the only
movie looks boring, though. Has anybody seen it?
Boring, boring, boring.
Yeah, why is she
boring?
The only thing to say about those last two awards is that Gaga did not win, and neither did Sam Elliott for A Star Is Born. A Star Is Born is getting shut out everywhere.
It's kind of a cliche movie, isn't it? Really?
It's been done.
I know. It's a remake.
Why is it getting nominations?
I don't
know. It's a remake.
And that song is... Trudy, do you like that song?
Oh, you
do. I don't believe I've ever even heard that song.
Well, let's play it for her.
Oh, no.
I didn't see A Star Is Born.
Trudy, you need to start paying attention.
I was... Bundy!
I'm sorry. You were watching the Ted Bundy special.
The beginning sounds like Tears in Heaven.
I was thinking this song sounds like another song, and I could not figure out what
Did
it is.
You
You're
know
right.
My name?
Tell me something,
it's Lady Gaga.
Are you happy in this modern world?
I can't believe the Elephant Man's such a good singer.
Does he sound this good in the live show, by the way?
No.
Is there something else you're searching for? I'll fall in.
You
supposed to really like him.
Clapton needs to sue them before the Oscars to shut this shit down.
It's a terrible.
Oh, people love this.
Are you making a song in a romantic movie where they're making out and then they lose each other? Oh, yeah, chicks everywhere will succumb.
And Gaga just comes wailing in that live one. I mean, she's like 10 times as loud as Cooper.
Like a real singer?
Yeah. She sounds good. Although, the hook. Tell me something, boy. I find the hook annoying.
Aren't you tired trying to fill that void?
I mean, this is a dirge, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
I would just like to see the two of you get it on.
Everyone wants them to get it on, by all the chicks. Everyone's like, oh my God, I know they're in love. Look at the way he looks at her. Oh.
No, they can't stop talking about each other. Yeah. It was pretty mopey.
And people were like, I guess Bradley Cooper's married. And they were referencing her going, oh my God, what could she have thought?
That he's working and pretending to be something, someone else?
The way he looks at Gaga, it's obvious.
Well, shit, he should have won all the awards then.
Oh, here's the hook.
Only takes 2 minutes to get to it.
Cooper even on the rest of the song, or?
I don't know.
This reminds me a lot of her Million Reasons song, though. Very similar.
Oh, there's Cooper.
So she should sue herself and, or Eric Clapton and Gaga should sue Gaga.
Sorry you died.
Oh, boy. Patricia Arquette thanked Robert Mueller at the SAG Awards for some reason. I thought that was... What? Did anyone thank Ken Starr back in the day?
What has he done anyway yet? He hasn't done anything yet.
I don't know. I thought that was a little premature, wasn't it?
She lost any more weight?
I don't think so.
No, and I feel uncomfortable with her because I feel like it's Tilly.
I know. God, she was so
totally
fucking
Tilly.
Good.
I know.
She's the best.
And she mentioned her ratty teeth and you know, the first
she
whatever
she
wants.
She has weird teeth to begin with, doesn't she?
She does.
Yeah.
I saw Lois Claremont tweet about it. She was happy.
She did?
She was happy to see the you know, that win.
Lois, my Lois.
Lois.
Yeah, I still follow her on Twitter.
Aw.
Lois Claremont.
By the way, speaking of Robert Mueller, there was an interesting poll, a couple polls today. George Stephanopoulos was doing the government reopening story. I'm so glad the government's open for 3 weeks, by the way. That is so cool that for 3 weeks, people can count on getting paid.
Sure.
And everything runs according to the plan.
Uh-huh.
And you know these people are ready to make a deal.
I mean,
compromise is their middle name.
There will be a wall.
I know. The shutdown was so successful. Right. We learned so much during the shutdown. You know, government workers at food banks. And by the way, I know there's a lot of skepticism about people at food banks, but, you know, a lot of these federal workers, they have fabulous benefits, but they don't, you know, there's a lot of people that live paycheck to paycheck think surprises people. And I don't think people line up at a food bank if they don't need to go there.
No,
I just
who wants
don't
to wait 90
that.
Minutes, 60 minutes to 90 minutes?
The line looked very long. But anyway, 64% don't trust the president to make the right decisions. That's, you know, almost two-thirds. 65% don't trust the Democrats to make the right decisions. I thought, boy, that's a little disconcerting. Then they had a poll on, is the U.S. on the right track or the wrong track? 71% said we're on the wrong track. 28% said the U.S. is on the right track. I'm thinking, that 28% seems so high. We just shut down for 5 weeks.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
How could you think we're on the right track? I mean, we're hung up on one thing, and now if it doesn't get done in 3 weeks, apparently it could all be shut down again.
Not looking too good.
Man.
I mean, is that somebody explain to me what the 28% think is the right track? Because I feel like if you've been shut down, if you can't even operate the government for 5 weeks because there's a...
Was that just his base?
Yeah, I think it's got to be the base thinking, okay, we screwed up everybody's day.
You
yeah.
could be anyone's base, but when... The government doesn't operate for 5 weeks. I still would think,
if you don't care.
I want the wall, but we didn't get the wall, so that would seem like the wrong track anyway. If you're his base and you think the wall's that important.
I still believe he's going to get it, and he probably will still get it.
Well, I just don't. I don't believe in this government shutdown business. I think it's really bad, and it's
dumb.
5 weeks is
pointless.
Just a long, long
time. You
know
what this calls for? This calls for somebody like
who cares?
Howard Schultz.
Exactly. Howard Schultz, he was on the tip of my tongue for weeks
at the TV.
Wondering. This guy, people are going to get him. So pissed at Howard.
I'm already really pissed at him.
Why did CBS put him on 60 Minutes? I thought that was kind of
stupid.
Well,
because he's thinking about maybe making an announcement someday about running for president. Maybe. Possibly.
Okay.
It's so stupid, Drew.
He's an executive. He runs
CEO
of Starbucks.
Starbucks, yeah.
And he's a billionaire. But, okay, we've got a billionaire president.
He's boring as shit, too.
He's an independent.
Yeah, which means this is the end of the election for 2020. If he runs, it's over. It's so over.
You think he'll really get enough support that he'll take that much away from the Democrats? Really?
He didn't seem terribly invigorating to me.
No, he's a bore.
Well, Perot wasn't invigorating, was he?
Perot? I love Ross Perot. I thought he was cool as hell.
Card-carrying member over there.
Yes, I was part of United We Stand. I don't know what happened to my card. I'm angry I don't have my United We Stand card.
You should contact him and tell me you want a new one.
I will.
Is it still operating?
They disrupted my daughter's wedding. And remember Admiral Stockdale?
Yes.
He ran a civilization. Stockdale. I mean, that was crazy times. When he had his pointer out, you know, and he made great points. He wanted to shut down. We're shutting down the energy department. Mm-hmm. It's a waste of money. And I don't know. I really bought into a lot of that. There's too much fucking government. Briefing.
That he quit the campaign back in July.
That was the wrong video. Sorry.
I'd love to hear him talk about his daughter's wedding if there's anything available.
Is there one particular branch of government? Do you still think energy isn't worth having? Or
I believe Ross. Idea. I was really taken in by Ross Perot. There probably is a need for a department.
Is there one cushy department that could really just go and satisfy everybody?
Homeland Security.
The government to me seems like General Motors when they had too many brands.
Right.
Like somebody smart like Ross Perot going we don't need all this. Are you kidding me?
Pretty new, isn't it? Isn't it only like 30 years
old?
Yeah,
it's not that old.
Well, get rid of it then.
I think it was the energy department he was talking about. He might have been talking about HUD. I don't know. I can't remember. I think it was the energy department he thought was really bloated.
Don't we need energy? Energy's kind of necessary, right?
I think so.
You can roll it into some other department.
But, you know, doesn't laissez-faire, doesn't the economy...
It'll just all run.
Doesn't supply and demand and capitalism take care of energy?
Well, to a point.
I mean, you know...
It's three agencies of government when I get there that are gone. Commerce, education,
See you on Dance with the Stars, Rick. That was the end of Rick Perry.
Now you're in charge of it?
There's got to be a daughter's wedding video, because he said it. They disrupted my daughter's wedding.
I don't know. I'm looking for some video of it.
Back to the United States.
That's right at the top of my agenda. We've shipped millions of jobs overseas.
This is just blah, 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 blah during a debate.
We have a strange situation because we
bring back memories for you, though.
A process in Washington where after you've served for a while, you cash in, become a foreign lobbyist, make $30,000 a month.
Yeah.
Then take a leave, work on presidential campaigns.
Yeah.
Make sure you got good contacts and then go back out. Now, if you just want to get down to brass tacks, first thing you ought to do is get all these folks who've got these one-way trade agreements that we've negotiated over the years. And say, fellas, we'll take the same deal we gave you. And they'll gridlock right at that point. Because, for example, we've got international
he was down
competitors
on lobbyists
who
big
simply
time
could not
in
unload their
interests.
Cars off the ship.
I'm with them there.
I am too.
They had to comply. You see, if it was a two-way street, just couldn't do it. We have got to stop sending jobs overseas.
Sounds familiar.
To those of you who are business people, pretty simple. If you're paying $12, $13, $14 an hour at the factory,
you're going to space everybody out, Ross.
And you can move your
I'm with him.
Pay a dollar an hour for labor, hire a young 25. That's assuming you've been in business for a long time. You've got a mature workforce.
Mature.
Pay a dollar an hour for your labor.
What?
Let's just see.
He's killing it.
Let's just see Clinton play that sax again.
Hey, shouldn't this be used during award shows?
Okay, it was never on Arsenio.
Yeah, use the Dreamweaver for
music for award shows at the Oscars. Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah, that would be Dreamweaver. Awesome.
Drew, I did find this. Mr. Perot did not say exactly how the Republicans sought to discredit his daughter Carolyn and disrupt her wedding. But in an interview last week, Susan McGee, another one of Perot's four daughters, said her father thought Republicans would mount a campaign asserting that Carolyn was a lesbian.
Oh.
We were told that they were planning to destroy her wedding by spreading the story that she was a lesbian.
They wanted to disrupt my daughter's wedding.
Who is a lesbian?
Was she a lesbian?
No, they wanted to destroy her, though.
What? They wanted to disrupt his daughter's wedding. That's how bad it was. He was such a threat.
Well, what's going to happen with Howard Schultz's kids?
Couldn't she have just had her wedding later? And let daddy run for president.
You got 19% of the vote. I wasn't alone.
Well,
I really like independent. I don't understand why there can't be a third party. I'm sick of both parties. I hate how the far left and the far right have taken over both parties. I'd like to see an independent. I don't think this is the guy, though. First of all, he was just boring.
He's not an independent.
He was boring on 60 Minutes. I'm thinking, I don't even think many people will vote for him. It might be enough to bother.
It doesn't feel
Democratic
a little bit.
Democratic candidate, though.
Doesn't feel a little bit like a brand is running for president.
Yeah.
Like it is Starbucks. Remember Starbucks
what do we know about this guy, by
Starbucks
the way?
Wanted to talk to us about race as they mentioned these.
I know.
Knock it off. When he's talking about the social responsibility of a company to talk about race, like, no, this is where you're wrong. The only responsibility of that company is to make money for their shareholders, period.
And I also thought about Maz while I was watching him, like how much Maz
would hate
him.
Maz
would never vote for him.
Yeah.
What exactly is that resistance to Starbucks mentality?
His daughter's addicted to nicotine, or I mean to caffeine.
Oh, really?
Yeah, wasn't that part of it? He didn't like his daughters went in there all the time?
He doesn't. Well, that's
disrupted his daughters?
Yeah. They disrupted my daughter's lifestyle. I don't know. Let's call him and find out.
We do need to call him. I want to mention, though, Hillary, people are speaking today saying that she is not closing the door on a 2020 run, good. Hillary Clinton.
Can someone just handcuff her to a radiator in the house or something?
Chain her in the basement.
Like Saw.
Now, that's an idea.
Hello,
we're talking.
Where's Jigsaw? Believe me, Bill's been trying to do it for years.
She always chews her way out.
And I haven't given up on her yet.
I left something in the basement again. Will you go get it for me?
How long till O'Brien Babikian?
Probably, I don't know, 25 minutes.
Okay.
He told us he's going to come live from Hooters. Because
sweet.
God, he gets better every second.
Because he is in the midst of having lunch instead of being right at the radio row.
Okay. Well, that's okay. He'll have stories tomorrow about that. Hey, I want to ask a question. Let's see, is there something else up front? Well, the 60 Minutes, the story about the Michigan couple.
That was great.
Gamed the lottery. What a great story that was. This retired couple, the guy's a big math whiz, and he figures out that when the certain game gets up to $5 million, what do they do?
It's called like a win down or windfall is what it's called.
Genius, genius,
instead
genius.
Of rolling it over so the winner next time gets a bigger prize, they make it so they can clear off
smaller
the
number matches.
Yeah, they win more on the smaller numbers.
And that's when he jumps in and buys thousands of tickets. And he knew his odds of winning more money than he lost were way in his favor.
Yeah.
I hit the Powerball.
So, of course, he drains that thing. They shut the game down. And then he says, hey, Massachusetts got this game.
They shut
like
it down,
game.
By the way, not because they caught him. He was selling shares into an LLC, which was...
Everything
he did was brilliant.
It was so cool.
But the state shut it down not because of him gaming the system, but because... it was lack of sales. People weren't interested.
So somebody comes up and says, hey, there's a game in Massachusetts you should look at. And he looks at the game and goes, yes, we can game this game too. He and his wife start driving to Massachusetts and they would stay at the residence
Red Roof.
Or something, Red Roof Inn, yeah. And he would buy $600,000 of tickets.
Wonder how that worked. Did he just have to sit there while they printed them out?
How could they print out? Yeah. He said he went to two different places. So two places printed up $300,000 of tickets. You know they'd want to, but could they really do that? How'd they do that?
Yeah, I guess.
And his wife and he spent the next 10 days, 10 hours a day, going through every ticket looking for winners.
That would be so tedious.
Jesus. They won $26 million. $26
million.
Over
7 years, yeah.
With small tickets. I mean, just adding up all these winners. Versus the losers. And they saved all the losing tickets, too. That was amazing because it was afraid of an audit.
Yeah, another brilliant move by him.
It was really cool. And he's a math major. He went to Western Michigan.
Oh, Western.
And they would have gotten away with it in Massachusetts, except a group of MIT students figured out the same thing.
$12 million.
They figured out the same thing, and then the Boston Globe got a tip about it, and they realized, everybody that wins this windfall is purchased in these two areas.
Bye-bye, game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they thought there was a mafia involved or something.
Really?
Yeah.
It's just kind of it's kind of bullshit that they, I mean, I know why the state got rid of it, but the state made money on it, too.
Well, that what happens is when somebody figures out how to beat an event in a casino or a lottery, then game over.
They don't know enough about it.
Except in a casino, if the house is losing money on each time somebody wins. The more people play in a lottery, the state gets money.
Yeah.
But video poker, remember people were figuring out video poker, and they would just say, you're banned, bye.
That's horseshit.
And a lot of those people had spent tons of money learning.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And they would just figure it out. They're just starting to turn the tide, and then bye.
That was a great story, though. What a cool couple.
Yeah, it was. It was really nice.
I might have a phone number for him, but it's a long shot.
Okay. So. The thing I wanted to mention was the Kate Beckinsale story, which... Okay, first of all, it's like gross. She has a burst cyst. Yeah. Gross. I really didn't want to know about that. If she's interested in me, I'm no longer interested. Kate Beckinsale, it's over between us. Sorry, but I don't want to know about a burst cyst. It just sounds so gross. I don't want to be anywhere near her. And she's very pretty.
Yeah.
Gross. Not saying that she wouldn't
hot. She's smoking hot.
No, but why didn't she
get a burst cyst, though? That's disgusting.
What's Pete Davidson doing to her?
She was not, good question.
Oh, boy. It's that BDE. Yeah.
So she's in the hospital, and, of course, some asshole takes a picture of her.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
and so she knew that it was out that Kate Beckinsale hospitalized. So she has to post that, I was hospitalized with a burst cyst.
Gross!
And I'm going to be okay. I'll be gross forever, but I'm okay. And I was just thinking, is there any... I mean, this sounds like a stupid question. Does anyone care about privacy of anyone, anywhere, anytime anymore?
Not anymore.
It doesn't seem like it, does it?
No.
Not when everything's posted online.
What do you think taking pictures of someone at a hospital would
be
over the
line? Don't they get fired for doing that?
I don't think it was a worker.
Oh, it was just somebody walking by her open room?
I think she was going into the hospital or something. I don't know. And she must have looked gross. Probably had something bulging out of her side.
Oozing out.
Yeah, there was a big ooze mark on her shirt.
I tell you, blouse. Her post of her picture, she still looks pretty hot.
Yes.
Although,
gorgeous. Sure.
No, there's a burst cyst in that body, though.
Yeah, but not on that head.
Poor thing.
I mean, there's pus oozing out of something somewhere on that body. There's pus oozing. It's disgusting. I don't know.
Why
I just thought
clean that up.
That was so shitty that she had to address that because
it sucks.
I don't know. Will the wheel ever spin round toward privacy again?
No.
Will there ever be any concern?
No.
Yeah, you know what? I think it will. Right. I think there's a snapback coming where they're gonna either have to control or people will control themselves.
No,
people won't control themselves.
Control themselves, won't they?
Who's suing for libel? Somebody's suing somebody for libel. I thought I meant to talk about it yesterday. Maybe it's in my notes.
Chris Brown.
Oh. Well, Chris Brown, yeah, but there was somebody else.
Is it easier to win it in Europe?
No, it was. I think it was here. Like somebody
Covington,
was suing over
Covington kids.
Smurfface. Yes, they are suing.
Enter Sandman.
For libel?
Yeah, I think there was. The Covington kids. I don't know. Maybe it's just Nicholas Sandman. hired the attorney who represented JonBenet Ramsey's little brother.
Oh, Burke, yeah.
And also represented somebody else who won a libel suit. And somebody was remarking on it and saying, this guy's really good, and it'll be a very interesting case. Because
how do you win a lawsuit?
Oh, Richard Jewell. He represented Richard Jewell.
Top Jewell.
Yeah. Richard Jewell made a lot of money.
He did. Too bad he wasn't around to enjoy it for
I know.
Long.
That was sad.
But... I mean, how do you sue all of the people who retweeted or...
Well, there's a lot of news coverage about it, though.
So you're just going
to
sue again.
And so, you know, they're going to start... You know, with Richard Jewell, they started going through the Atlanta newspaper, the Atlanta local stations. I mean, they literally went through, because all this stuff is available, they went through all the coverage, found the most egregious cases where people... did not properly source their information, and they settled at the Atlanta Constitution. It was a big settlement. I forgot how much it was. It was a lot of money.
Didn't they get NBC too?
Yeah, yes. They got NBC. And I don't remember how much he made. It was millions of dollars, which, you know, to these media outlets is not a big amount of money. But I just thought it was interesting. As far as Kate Beckinsale.
Do they have to prove that... like slander, do they have to prove that they knew it was false? Or does it just have to be that it wasn't?
It can
a false
be
statement?
Negligent. I think negligence can play a role in it, too. You know, usually you have to prove some sort of
malice.
Malice,
yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
And this, I will say, I mean, this story, there's so much malice, and people are maliciously mad. They want bad things to happen to this kid. In fact, it's really kind of amazing when you look at the tweets. And by the way, if you look, I was looking at, I think Daily Mail had a story about deleted tweets, and they mentioned John Cusack. And so his Twitter was right there, so I went, boom, went on his Twitter. Mm-hmm. His Twitter is extremely active. And it's funny, John Cusack, again, that's a guy I think of as, yeah, good old John Cusack. He's in all his movies, plays all his roles I like. And you read his Twitter, and it's like, holy shit, this guy is a walking time bomb. He's so pissed. But he's got like a two-day period where all of a sudden there's no tweets.
Oh.
Interesting.
Oh.
Yeah.
And they would use a pattern of usage to prove that.
Oh, I'm sure. No, he tweeted. He was one of the people they mentioned in the story, had deleted tweets. Mm-hmm. And Kathy Griffin was like, name these kids immediately. Shame them. Dox them. And, you know, Jake Tapper was deleting tweets. Other CNN people were deleting tweets. I mean, it was like, whoa! Yeah,
Patton Oswalt, Ron Perlman, a whole bunch of people got rid of theirs.
But, you know, you look at these people with other stories, and you'll find that, well, they're not that mad about that. Why are they so fucking mad at this kid? Jesus Christ. I mean, it's really, and dox them? What does dox mean? Doesn't that mean dig up shit on them?
Yeah, like personal, like addresses and phone numbers, mm-hmm. documents.
It's a 16-year-old kid.
The internet.
I know. Beautiful place.
Richard Jewell.
Did you read Tom Brokaw's Twitter yet?
No. I want to hear Tom Brokaw's Twitter.
Threw it over there.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, but
okay.
You got to read backwards.
It's funny. They were referencing this morning, his Twitter, like, boy, he just was trying to tweet his way out of this.
Oh, it just wasn't happening. Well, not more importantly, it's like an 80-year-old man Twitter, you know, trying to tweet.
He's an old-timer, huh? Just look at him. Oh, he's so cute. Oh, just look at him.
By the way, I've been having so much fun finding Twitter accounts with a zillions of followers where no one seems to be responding to anything. Spencer Pratt may be the number one inactive Twitter account. He has 921,000 followers. His tweets get 3 likes, 2 likes, 5 likes.
They'll get the 30, you know, the eventually, you know, sometimes 35.
Heidi Montag has 1.4 million Twitter followers, and she'll get a few hundred likes
now,
once
just,
in a while.
Just to set the stage for Tom Brokaw and his Twitter usage, January 20th, he tweeted this. I'm going to read it verbatim as he wrote it. The refs should, this is after the Saints-Rams game.
Oh, boy.
The refs should, HV, which is supposed to be have, no excuse for blowing the pass interference call against the Rams, period. Maybe if Ree is in Braille, they'll see it. And there's a lot of extra spaces. His very next tweet, no excuse for refs blowing the pass interference call against the Rams. Maybe if the replay is in Braille, they'll see it.
What in the hell
like,
are you talking about?
Basically cleaned up from what he wrote.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Well, his first tweet is, it worked. I got your attention. Knight. Why is Knight in there?
You're reading it backward. That was his last one. So go start maybe like, I think 20 hours ago is when it.
Can't someone fix this chronology? The president never had to worry about missing payday. His dad showered him with big dollars early and often. No worries about rent, food, medical. So government workers are just chips in his latest big casino. I began my TV career, who cares, at KTIV in Sioux City, repped Stephen King's district. In my long ago time, their folks,
long ago wait, time?
T-H-E-R-E, their folks.
Yeah.
Days of yore?
Folks,
that's kind of the point how bad he is.
We're conservative, but not bigots. His views on race have been abhorrent for some time. I hope they don't understand he's gone way too far, and they, too, are being judged.
January 1st, he has a tweet that just says, Oi! O-Y. Oi!
Oi!
Bob Costas, my dear friend, broadcasting brother, really, is leaving NBC after 40 years of Hall of Fame work. It's like hearing his hero Mickey Mantle decide to leave the Yankees. The master is leaving the building. Godspeed, Oi! Robert. Okay.
Where it says like 20 hours ago will be.
Yeah, I can't read that one. Can you read the 20 hours ago one?
I feel terrible. Part of my comments on her Twitter offers a memory of that part. I feel terrible that a part of my comments on Hispanics offended some members of that proud culture.
Proud culture. She's trying to kiss their ass.
Oh, yeah.
Me to look at you.
I love Hispanics.
The next one. From the days reporting on Cesar Chavez to documenting the many contributions of Hispanics
what?
In all parts of culture.
Huh?
It's like a part of a sentence. From my days reporting on Cesar Chavez to documenting the many contributions of Hispanics in all parts of our culture. Then the next one. I've worked hard to knock down false stereotypes. In my final comment in Meet, I said all sides.
Wait, if you're on Meet the Press, you call it Meet.
M-E-A-T.
Of course.
Have to work harder. Then the next one. Which, that is that 100? How many characters you get? 140?
280 now.
Oh, 280. Okay. Yeah. Well, he ended that one and started a new one. So work harder at finding common ground, which I strongly believe dialogue, not division.
Okay.
My Twitter account failed me at the worst time. I am sorry. Truly sorry. My comments were offensive to many. The great enduring American tradition of diversity is to be celebrated and cherished. what is this? Y-A-M-I-C-H-E?
Yamachi? I have no Yamachi? Idea.
Thank you for your comments. Let's go forward together.
Okay, it's over, right?
Yep.
It's over. Oh, no, it's not over.
Finally, I'm sorry. I never intended to disparage any segment of our rich, diverse society, which defines who we are.
Okay, stop trying to be so cool, Brokaw, and so deep.
That's got to be the last one, then.
No, yeah, that's it. It's over. Oh, wait.
Finally, I'm sorry. Again, he started with finally, I'm sorry. I failed to convey my strong belief that diversity, dynamic and inclusive, is what makes America.
Okay, all done. Go to bed, Tom.
My tweet portal is whack.
Whack? What, he'd ask his grandson for a term?
I've been trying to say I'm sorry I offended, and I so appreciate my colleague.
Okay, all done. Great. Oh, no.
Great. Oh, Yamichi is the other girl on
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, is a wonderful colleague in an important place. By the way, it's great, then space, because it's on the next line.
Oh, my God. He's so deep.
And then finally, it worked. I got your attention, Knight. It worked. You got our attention because your Twitter portal's whack.
Oh, my God.
He's got to be a great follow.
Yeah, I might have to follow him.
Let's see. Let me scroll down and see.
But he just was Me Too'd. Why is he on Meet the Press? He didn't apologize either, did he?
Why is he on
what? Did he say, I'm sorry that somebody didn't understand I wanted to grab her tit?
Yeah.
Something like that.
I don't know why he's still on Meet.
Whack. All four dead today at the age of 83.
Okay, good. And one for next year.
All right. Gerald four dead today. At age 84.
Let's see. Should we call Brian?
Yeah.
It's 3:21. We'd be 9 minutes early.
His Twitter is just awesome. On a very busy weekend, TSA shuts one of two lanes at Delta LaGuardia Terminal, like Costco shutting half a store a week before Christmas. Brilliant. The next tweet. Whoops, spell check. Make that Costco.
How do you slur in your, like...
it's just this brain.
Electronic Brokaw. Message.
Somebody
well.
Tell him that he's not tweeting his way out of this one.
Oh, here's another great one from him, which I don't know where this is in response to, but he wrote, whoops, space. My fault, space. Yin. Wait. Space does not require a G string, which he must be referring to. A lot of people say yin and yang. It's yin and yang. But he doesn't.
Can someone show him how to delete tweets? Doesn't he want to delete these and just start over?
Here it is, the one before. The yin and yang of the digital age. What are you talking about, Brokaw?
Get off of Twitter.
Go away.
You're Me Too. What are you doing on Meet the Press anyway?
Oh, here's one where I think he blames fat fingers.
No, really?
Did you see that? Fat fingers lead to maybe fat an ailment. Head mistakes, so maybe that's it. He does, actually.
With his hands? 9 months from now, every newborn in Alabama will be named Tua.
Oh, God. Boring.
It's a dialing
line. Thoughts to yourself.
Stop trying to be Larry King and beating him at his own game.
Jeez.
What's up, guys?
It's the Spike King, Brian!
I can't believe that 2 days in a row. 2 days in a row you got me.
That's right. How you doing, man?
I'm reporting live at Hooters in Atlanta.
How's the talent there?
As your special correspondent.
Exactly. Of course you are. And, yeah, how is the talent at Hooters?
It's not bad. It's what you expect in Atlanta.
Okay, so, okay. So strong.
I mean,
but the Bud lattes are flowing right now. We gotta get ready. It's media night tonight. So I'm just killing a little bit of time before we go over there. I did a lap around the stadium. A lot of security everywhere. Can't really go into anything. The NFL live experience in Centennial Park is closed. It opens up about 4 o'clock, so I'll get there a little bit later. But it's like a New England spring day outside. It's 57 degrees. I got my shorts on. Got my Tom Brady Super Bowl 51 jersey on. I'm feeling good. And that's I got awesome. A lot of people saying F Tom Brady. F Tom Brady. I love it. Fuel the fire, baby. That's what the Patriots thrive off of.
Brian, do you chant back? We're still here.
that was funny yesterday. We're still here. They're always trying to push these things like when Belichick, when they won the Super Bowl. We're not. No days off. No days off. So. Man, like, it's everyone fired up in New England, man.
We just played that. We just played both those chants. You are all over this story. Nobody covers the Patriots like Brian the Spike King, man. It's
that's
amazing.
That's funny. I wasn't even listening. You guys covered that. So
how about that?
You guys are smart.
No, you're impressing me more and more every day. So the schedule this week, your media appearances. You've got GMA on Thursday, correct?
So stick with me here. Friday. Tomorrow, Rich Eisen show. That'll be at 10 in the morning. They film it live at the studio from 12 to 3. I'll be just sitting in the audience. Nothing special. That's going to be at Turner Studios on Wednesday. Just got this information, breaking news. Good Morning Football, Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. I will be there in the audience, and I think they're going to bring me on to talk because I've got a little bone to pick with Nate Burleson on that show, and he knows it. It's been a month in the making, so this is going to be awesome.
Wait, you found your way to Nate Burleson's world. Now, what is he picking a bone for?
Well, a couple of weeks ago, right after the bye week, Nate Burleson came out and said that the Steelers were going to go to the Super Bowl, and the Patriots wouldn't make it. He said, hey, Patriots fans, this isn't your time. Come at me, bro. And I came at him hard. For a month straight, the Pittsburgh Steelers went 0-3 after he said that. They went 0-3, and they were tanking. And it came to the game, was Patriots and Steelers, and they ended up picking the Patriots to win that game. I think he jinxed this on purpose. But Nate has changed his ways. Nate has picked the Patriots to win the Super Bowl. He's been riding that wave.
Oh, yeah, now.
He is now.
Tell him he's too late. Tell him he's not allowed to.
Rob Parker and Max Kellerman make him save face, but he's going to know I'm still bringing it to heat to him on Wednesday morning.
Now, well, that's sweet. That's on Good Morning Football. And then,
Brian, you know about Nate Burleson's little accident he had when he was here in Detroit, right? Is that common knowledge?
Well, no, what happened? Tell me about it.
He got in a car accident because he was trying to save a pizza he had just bought. So he
was sliding off the front seat. He claimed.
So
some people.
I want to make sure I mention that.
Yeah,
you know,
please do.
I mentioned that to him on Wednesday.
And didn't he have a line of men's?
Atlanta,
yeah, exactly.
Didn't he have a line of men's handbags as well?
Mm. Yeah, he's had
styled some.
He's had a bunch of ventures, I think. Yeah, I think you're right, Trudy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Wednesday, Good Morning Football, and then what other appearances?
Thursday's going to be the welcome party for the Patriots. I'll be there with them, friends and family. I got the sneak invite in there. And then Friday is Good Morning America.
Okay, Friday.
So that'll be at 6 in the morning. So that's supposed to be national. Again, I'll be in the crowd, but I'm sure they'll show my lovely face on TV.
Yeah, Brian, of course, is getting so much attention because of his Patriots Super Bowl 53 champion tattoo with the logo, which you got in August, which you, of course, had on your Instagram and all that.
Which, can I say this?
Yeah.
The Super Bowl logos stink. They absolutely stink. I wish they could go back to being creative every year. I understand in the marketing terms and money that it's easier to create a generic logo for them and mass produce it. But when I got the tattoo, that's the one thing I do hate about it. It's a crappy logo, but it is what it is.
Yeah, it's still, you made the point. It's worked well for you. Now, do you have buddies down there with you?
So my buddy Green Run Pete does not fly in. So Friday, and actually Friday night, we'll be at Shaquille O'Neal's Funhouse. That's going to be near the Atlanta Braves Stadium. We got a hookup over there, and we'll get to meet Shaq and everything like that. So he's flying in. He'll be with me on Saturday and Sunday. But I'm riding solo for the week, just doing my thing.
Wow. Now, how are you getting all these hookups?
It's just, you know, at the end of the day, it's networking and, you know, being a genuine person that I am, like I told you, just work with people and grind. And I'm not looking for handouts, but it's none of that, man. It's just you work for something, you do it the smart way as well, too. And people want to see you succeed and you keep growing. That's why I say it about myself. It's not me just doing it. It's everyone around me that's part of it.
Okay, so there's a lot of weasel power in there. You just seem like you've got good, and I mean that in a good way. Weaseling is a skill.
Successful, yeah.
Yeah, weaseling. If you want to call it that. You know, more squirrely. I'd say squirrely like Julian Edelman.
Okay.
The squirrel.
Is there any...
Those first down.
Is there any football news to report today, Vince? Any injuries or anything about the game that's getting a lot of play?
I haven't. I mean, personally, I haven't heard anything yet. I believe the Pats have the day off today. They landed here yesterday. I went by the hotel, just kind of walked around and everything like that. Not trying to weasel my way over there. I was just walking to kind of see everything set up.
Uh-huh.
And I heard they're having a day off, so they're going to enjoy it, and we'll just see what happens tonight. Media night, you know, whoever's walking around, hopefully I get to run a couple of plays and talk with them.
What happened to no days off? How can they have a day off?
Well, you got to have a day. Come on. So, Belichick, he took a day off in Super Bowl 52. Your defense did. So.
All right. Yeah, they did. You're right. All right, Brian, great report as expected, and we will call you tomorrow sometime around this time.
All right, awesome. Just keep checking in.
All right, enjoy media day.
All right. Take care, guys.
Okay, Brian.
See ya.
Bye.
There he is, Brian. I don't know. I know I mispronounced his name. Babikian. It's Babikian. The Spike King on Instagram, where he must be piling up some followers on there.
Emily, take a look.
Yeah. Funny guy.
So was he following the preparation for halftime as well, or any of the entertainment?
I'm sure he is. I don't think he's missing anything.
He has 120,000. Oh, maybe I have the wrong one.
The Spike King.
There's no way.
I know there's a couple. He's got to have some followers.
Let's see. 18,300.
Okay, that's not bad. That's pretty good. I mean, he didn't have 10,000. He was trying to get 10,000 likes, I think, to get the tattoo, and he pulled that off. And then, what do you know? Here he is. He's a funny guy. You know what we didn't cover yesterday, and I really meant to because it was such a visual story, was that road rage story where somehow all I know is I woke up on, I guess it was Sunday when the story was first reported, and there's a video on Sunday's Today Show or whatever of a 65-year-old man holding onto the hood of a car, which is going 70 miles an hour.
Look at this.
My God.
Oh, my God.
It is incredible.
Wow.
How the fuck can anyone, first of all, what's he doing on the hood of the car? And second of all, why is this guy going 70? And people are honking at him. They're like, dude, what are you doing? And finally, I think somebody cut him off and made him stop, or they got in front of him and slowed down.
Yeah.
High speed road rage in Massachusetts. Look at this, a driver racing down the highway, a man clinging onto the hood of his SUV at up to 70 miles per hour. Here's ABC's Ariel Reshef.
Tonight, that shocking cell phone video of a dangerous road rage incident on a packed Massachusetts turnpike. A white SUV reaching speeds of up to 70 miles an hour with a man dangling from the hood.
I thought he was going to run over me.
The driver, 37-year-old Mike Fitzgerald, at times appearing to hit the gas.
I just kept telling him, stop the car, stop the car.
And you're driving along, la la la, woo.
Horrified onlookers trying to flag him down. The car traveling nearly 3 miles as 65-year-old Richard Komrowski clings to the gap by the windshield.
Wow.
Watch as the husband of the woman capturing this cell phone video gets out of their vehicle, trying to intervene. Another man walking into frame, wielding
a gun.
Why
is he still in the car, by the way, when
Fitzgerald out of the driver's seat just as officers arrive. Police say the heart-stopping ordeal stemmed from a minor sideswipe, spiraling out of control after a verbal altercation. Komrowski jumping on the front of the car as Fitzgerald drives off. Both men arrested at the scene. Tom, no one was hurt, but both of those men now face charges. As for the guy with the gun who coaxed Fitzgerald out of the car, police say he owned that weapon legally and will not face charges.
Oh, good.
Tom.
Incredible. Nobody was.
Is this the second time somebody with a gun has done something good recently? Wasn't there another story? And I'm not like a pro-gun or an anti-gun person. It's just,
You know, every once in a while you'll hear of a robbery that's stopped by somebody who has a gun.
Yeah. I mean, it's not real common, but this guy literally took a gun to the driver because this guy wouldn't listen to anybody. And I don't know. It was kind of cool. The cops were just getting there. So,
yeah, eventually what happened was all the other people that were on the highway were like, okay, let's work together to get this guy stopped. And somebody went in front of him, slowed down. Someone went to the side of him, slowed down eventually so they could get it to stop. Because otherwise, that dude, I mean,
What was it? What was the? I would love to know. What was the driver's game plan?
Well, he
what
said,
was he planning to do with that guy on the hood of his car going 70?
He claimed that the 65-year-old man was smashing something into his windshield, and you can see the windshield is broke. So, I mean, who knows?
But I mean, but driving with him at high speeds is just not a great idea.
No, really. Not very. But if you would have put his brakes on, that would have been bad, too. So
true.
Slow down.
I mean, the guy's 65. Couldn't you beat the shit out of him? I mean, if the guy really wanted to fight, which apparently
I
he did.
I know. That dude's pretty tough.
You know, I missed the second part of the story. Did the guy who was driving the car going 70 with the guy in the hood, was he the guy who drove away? I mean, I assume he's the guy that left the scene, was leaving the scene of the accident. Because he said it was a sideswipe, and they argued, and then one of them was driving away.
Oh,
and the
yeah,
guy,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, you would think that would be the case, because then dude's like, no way.
Yeah, you're not gonna, I'm going to jump on your car and prevent you from doing so.
It's interesting that they both were arrested.
Stood his ground.
Boy.
He didn't get off, though. Did you? I think you were upstairs. When they had him at a full stop, the old dude is still...
I know!
Old dude, but he's
what is
still
that?
Clinging to the... I wonder if he could get his fingers unfolded at that point, because, what is it, like
I
20
if
degrees?
He might have just been completely freaked out. Yeah, I don't know, that was really weird. There was a survey, this is in Brandon's Prep today, about tattoos.
Oh.
And I'm always interested in green blobs.
Why come you don't have a tattoo? Mm.
One of my favorite drops. I don't know why. 18 to 29-year-olds, what percentage do you think have at least one tattoo?
What about like 20%?
40.
40?
40%.
Really?
I know. I swear, I feel like it's higher. And I don't know, I'm around
a lot of creative people, so maybe I'm around a different type of person.
Does Joey have a tattoo? No tattoo.
No.
Funny, we don't. Brandon has one. You have one, right?
I have one. Or
does
six,
Mark have a tattoo?
I don't think he. No, he's no. He's talked about getting one. He just doesn't know what to get.
Yeah, I'm in that same boat.
I think I'm in the same boat too, which means I'll probably never have one. Yeah. I don't have one now. Yeah. And you know,
because I can't get something that everybody else has, so I'll never get one.
I was thinking about like girlfriends. I don't think I've ever had a girlfriend who had a tattoo.
Really?
Ever?
Your team photo is untatted.
I think it's untatted.
Wow.
I had a girlfriend
who I don't know.
Did not have a tattoo, and then she went on vacation, and she came home with a tramp stamp. She's like, how do you like it? And I was like, it's great. Awesome.
What's the stamp? What's on there?
It was, I don't know, it was like maybe a butterfly, some torque. But I mean, those things were hot for a while. Every chick was getting them.
By the way, does anyone...
And before that, everybody was getting barbed wire around their arm or some tribal.
So, God, how dumb.
Does anyone ever tell anyone that their tattoo isn't cool? I'm not in this world. I'm asking. No,
I've been told mine sucks from friends. You know, and a lot of people make fun of
well,
me.
This
okay,
is so
that's like making fun of your face or something like that. Because
it's
on
is.
You.
Yeah, it's permanent. So, because I see a lot of tattoos where I go, ooh, okay. I don't know if I would have got that. I mean, a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just... Well, first of all, I only see green blobs now, so I don't even really see tattoos. If I get up close, though, I have a tendency to think, I wonder what they were thinking about when they got that. I just don't know why they got that tattoo. It just seems to me I find more tattoos to be less appealing to me personally, but I know I'm this was the interesting part of this survey, was that people with tattoos have more mental health issues, but I'm bearing the lead, they also have more sex partners.
Oh.
So people with tattoos are getting laid. And they do sort of suggest that, and I think it makes sense, that people with tattoos engage in more risky behaviors. You know, more binge drinking.
Sure.
More smoking, more drugs. I don't think it's dramatic, but it's, you know, it's enough that, and I thought it was an interesting survey because I feel like we've never really learned what a tattoos mean because they're so prevalent now.
Yeah,
I mean, what does it mean when somebody, you know, is extremely tattooed? And, of course, you know, throw out the Justin Biebers and people like, they don't count. They're
Jim Bentley.
Jim. Well, Jim stopped getting tattoos, didn't he?
Hi, Jim. Thank you.
Hey, Brandon, has Jim had a couple taken off?
I don't think so. If Maybe anything, not. I could just see Jim continuing to add on.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, he's got.
But he was on a bender at one time, and then he stopped. And I think he has that. Maybe he has added a couple since.
Well, yeah, within a couple of weeks, he had an entire sleeve. He has some random ones hidden here and there. He'll surprise you.
How do you know?
Well, I mean, like on his legs and stuff.
Well,
like
I remember
that.
When he was
on
getting,
his butthole and stuff.
When he's getting, I mean, it was, yeah, I haven't seen the butthole one, but it was weird. All of a sudden, he's like, "Oh, Jim got a tattoo. Oh, Jim got another tattoo. Oh, Jim got another." I mean, it was really fast. Yeah. It just happened overnight. But
yeah,
I think the tattoos.
They fit him though. I don't know. It kind of doesn't it fit Jim?
Yeah, I think it works. I don't really. I mean, I don't look at him any differently with tattoos than I would before he had tattoos. I just sort of wondered if he was gonna want all those tattoos later on.
Well, my mom didn't get her first tattoo until she was like 45.
Wow.
Yeah, and then, but that was because she wanted something with the grandchildren's names and whatnot. So everybody
has tattoos.
Their own.
Does she have now?
I think, well, it's only like one, but like it incorporates all the different names of her grandkids.
She's got to get a new one now, right? Or did she already?
Oh, yeah, she probably should.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I thought that 40% number was very interesting because I was surprised that 60% of 18 to 29 don't have even one. And the whole thing about more sex partners, too, I was looking at, this was something really dumb I was looking at. And it was one of those, you know who it was? It was the guy who is the Instagram star who had the 6-part series on Amazon. Cameron Dallas. Or is it Dallas Cameron? Whatever it is. That guy. Uh-huh. He made an Instagram post that, like, the world stopped because of this post. He had tattoos all over his front side. It was like he had just tatted himself up overnight. And, of course, a lot of people were like, oh, my God, Cameron has a – look at all this. But there were a lot of girls going, oh, my God, I think it's so hot.
Really?
And so I think there is a sexuality element where a lot of people find a lot of tattoos really sexy, or they think it's sort of an edgy, you know
– edgy, I guess.
Like a motorcycle guy or I don't
know.
Like
what you see. Huh?
I think it's much hotter to be ripped. I mean, that – I would rather see without ink.
I could not agree with you more.
Yeah.
But
why,
I think
that's why Drew's
definitely
trying to get hot.
That exactly.
But that's a lot harder than getting a tattoo.
Getting ripped. Oh yeah, I entirely agree. Yeah. But you know, I looked at Trace Cyrus, Miley's brother, because he was in the news the other day over that stupid post. And he's completely covered.
Completely,
his neck is virtually completely covered. He has tattoos. And I noticed
he looks like somebody's art project.
Yeah, I thought it looked stupid. I really did. And I know he's a rock star, or he's not a rock star. He's in a band.
Weird.
I don't know. It doesn't appeal to me. But I'm not him. I mean, he probably gets tons of chicks. I mean, it seems to me there's something to getting a lot of tattoos and pulling chicks or pulling guys. I mean, I think it's a style.
Right.
It's
yeah.
like a uniform or
it's a differentiation.
Yeah, it's a way to make yourself stand out. I don't know how much people analyze these, like, oh, she's got a that's really sexy. Or, you know, just like belly button rings or nipple rings or, you know, all that. It's all part of style now. So apparently, though, there's something to not having tattoos. There's at least there's an old school attraction out there somewhere, because 60% of people 18 to 29 do not even have a tattoo, which, again, very surprised by that number. Now, of the 40% between 18 and 29, half of those people with tattoos have 6 or more. So 20% of 18 to 29-year-olds have 6 or more tattoos, 1 in 5. Now you're talking about, I got to believe, you know, long sleeve shirts, mm-hmm. you know, if you want to work in... I thought
mainstream.
Yeah, I thought we would almost be at the point now where nobody gives a shit about a neck tattoo,
sure.
face tattoo.
I think more and more are becoming acceptable of it. I went to the urgent care to get some wax out of my ear. It's disgusting.
Well, I don't know about this story.
Yeah, I had to go in there. I completely lost hearing in my left ear, and I had to go in and just.
You ever heard
of
Q-tips? Jeez.
I know. It's the second time it's happened in the last few
years. I got them upstairs if you need one.
But I'll bring my ear candles
next
time.
Did you try Q-tips and it was just so much wax that it was impossible to to completely clear your ear out?
No, not really, because I normally just kind of jam my finger in there to, like, if I have an itch, and I think I just buried so much wax. It's really gross. This huge cashew-shaped ball of wax came out of my ear. I can hear completely fine now. Thank you.
If something happens with Kristen, I think you and Kate Beckinsdale might make a nice couple.
But the point is, I was at the urgent care, and the nurse who actually helped flush this thing out, she had a neck tattoo, and I was kind of surprised to see that. A big one on her neck. And
well, you know,
it's becoming more and more acceptable with certain employment.
I mean, well, a nurse, actually, they can almost do what they want to do, right? Because nurses have...
Yeah, there's a shortage of nurses.
Always a shortage of nurses, yeah. So good nurses are in demand, so they can call the shots, right? Pretty much.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But the whole tat thing, it in itself is an expensive thing. One tattoo is expensive. So if you've got, you know, six of them at least, how much is that you've invested in something like that?
A couple $1,000 maybe. Right. I don't know. If they're good. I mean, you don't want to get cheap tattoos. If you're getting tattoos, you should certainly have someone good do it.
Sure, yeah.
But that just, I don't know, that I really had to stop and consider that. One in five people... 18 to 29. First of all, you're talking about young people.
Yeah.
Like, I would think a lot of them live with their parents.
Uh-huh.
I would think coming home with six tattoos, I guess not. I guess, you know, what are you going to do? It's done. It's over.
I recommend you spend your money on something better.
Maybe. I'm not trying to be a square about it. I'm just kind of amazed by the number. One in five. So if one in five people 18 to 29 has six or more tattoos, it seems to me the workplace almost has to adjust because you need workers.
Sure.
And if one in five is unhirable, I mean, it must be a whole lot looser out there, which I thought. But that's just, it's a lot of tattoos.
Isn't that in conflict, the idea that they're having more sex with the sexual recession that supposedly millennials are going through? Is it millennials or Gen Z?
I believe it's
millennials.
Gen Z.
I think it's both, really. I think millennials are not happy with their sex lives, according to a survey we recently had. And it seemed to indicate that a lot of what's going on in the virtual world was unsatisfying in the real world. That we had a conversation about it. I think that...
Oh, yeah.
I think that's more Gen Z than millennials.
Maybe
however,
it is.
Because a lot of millennials were still, you know, like myself, when I was a kid, up until I was about 15, 16, there really was no internet. So we had that period of time where there was no internet.
I'm glad you mentioned that. That's a millennial beef, is this idea that they've never lived in a world without the internet. Because I think a lot of people think, oh, millennials, they grew up with... Well, no, they didn't. A lot of them grew up without the internet.
Yeah.
I mean, part of their life was without the internet. But anyway, it's just interesting. I don't know. I just never felt we really had numbers on this, but it's interesting to read. And that, I mean, there are people. I think there's a lot of people. Well, I'm sure there is. There must be who prefer someone tatted.
Yeah, you know.
I mean, that
it suggests an edginess. Yeah, maybe,
if you've got them, I would assume you're attracted to someone with them if you like them. So, I don't know, just interesting. I don't know, and I think, you know, just from being my age, you remember when a tattoo was a big fucking deal.
Right. it meant something.
Yeah, it was not really, I remember when the tide sort of broke on tattoos, when it was like, hey, it's cool to get a tattoo. Wasn't it around the Dennis Rodman time?
Yeah.
Like, Dennis Rodman got a tattoo. Oh, my God. I mean, to think how short a time ago that was, and then all of a sudden it's like, well, Dennis Rodman has a million tattoos. What do I have one?
Yeah,
who cares?
Yeah.
Oh, it was just, that was not something I thought would become chic and would last. I thought it was a fad. I just thought, boy, permanently stamping your body.
Well, they turned it from a thing where a guy would get an anchor. Navy. Into an art.
Yeah.
So then when it became body art, then it was sort of a different...
Oh, it's come a long way.
I think professions have a lot to do with it. Yeah, right now, professional sports, they're all tatted up. Rock stars, obviously, tatted up.
Oh, my God. I was looking at Virginia Tech basketball Saturday night. They were playing Syracuse at home. And Syracuse is orange. And for some reason, Virginia Tech was in pink, which is like... First minute of the game, I'm rooting for Syracuse because I'm like, well, we got to be the team in orange. What the fuck? And then I'm like, well, we're wearing pink. I didn't even know why. Is there some breast cancer thing Saturday?
I don't know. Must be.
I don't know. But
that's what that means.
Beside the point. I noticed like, oh, my God, look at all the tattoos on our players. Not that I cared. I mean, it's pretty commonplace when you watch college basketball. You're going to see a lot of tattoos. Mm-hmm. But they were like coming out of the jersey like, half in the jersey, half out of the jersey. And it was just sort of, I don't know, it was just some of those guys have a ton of tattoos.
Yeah.
But, you know, and they're only 19, 20 years old.
I know.
I'm probably going to do something with mine and get it, like, updated somehow. I don't know, make it look more sharp. I don't know. I got to do something right now because you're right. It turned from black to a typical tattoo green. And I think it's been long enough. I should update it.
So the technology is better now, maybe? Probably.
Yeah.
Well, you can do whatever you want with it. You can do anything with a tattoo. You can eliminate it. You can change it. You can color it. You can, you know, update it.
Why are there only two kinds of script, though, in tattoo? Like, you either have the flowery script or Chinese characters, and that's it. You can't have anything else.
You know,
like sans serif,
The Chinese characters appeal to you in a tattoo?
No, because
I find anything that I have to ask you what it says, it seems like a bad idea. I just kind of go, why did they do that? Like Angelina Jolie, doesn't she have some... Of course, she's so deep.
She's got like a whole like book passage written on what part of her body is that?
Her side, maybe. I don't know.
Ooh, mi sorry, mi no speaky Chinese. Yeah,
because I feel like the Chinese character thing is... so many people have it, I would never get it.
Didn't Britney Spears do that?
I was going to do like a compass rose, you know? Like it looks like a compass. And somebody goes... So people can tell what direction you're going? And I was like, oh, forget it. I don't want that.
You know I don't go Chinese.
I know you could be easily...
Son, and then somebody told me a stripper had that. And I was like, forget it.
I know. Trudy, I think you could be easily talked out of any tattoo.
Yes.
I'm convinced of it. Totally. I'm going to make it my goal. Maz is working in the snowbelt of Holly, Michigan. And while we are looking at, you know, what, 5 to 8 inches here?
Well, they were saying 4 to 6 on the way in.
4 to 6.
WWJ.
Okay. We moved the show up. So, and, you know, it's funny. I was thinking.
So we could drive here.
Yeah. So you could get home more reasonably. This morning, I've never done this before. Whenever they say, let's have a blanket in the car. We'll be sure you have water. You might want to stock up on food because, you know, I always go, boo hoo. Fuck you. Nobody's stopping me from my daily rounds. But honestly, this morning...
Ooh, cold up there. Must be tough on your penis.
It is tough. So I'm watching Good Morning America, the Today Show, then Channel 7. You know, I'm just kind of doing my thing, CNN. And everyone's talking about the weather. And, you know, Chicago's going to have 60 straight hours of below zero temperatures.
Oh,
and Detroit's going to be minus 36 with a wind chill Wednesday morning.
Jesus.
And I was waking up and I was tired, I was cranky. And Matt was asking me about working out. And I'm like, I don't want to work out.
Freeze.
And then I was thinking, oh, I got to get 1099s ready for my accountant. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, everything was like, oh my God, I got to get checks. I got to temporary checks. I'm out of checks.
Really?
The podcast, yeah. And people, it's the end of the month. And all these things are just going, oh, what a horrible day.
Where's my checkbook? There it is, because I always have it, because I always have my checkbook, because I'm always writing checks.
I'm out of coffee. Oh. And I'm thinking, I don't want to go anywhere on Wednesday. I don't want to go anywhere. So I decided, okay, I'm going to work out because that's going to make me feel better. Because it always does. You always feel better, don't you?
Yeah, definitely.
And so I thought, okay, I have checks.
Yes, sir.
I had a couple podcast checks. I need a deposit. I need to get podcast checks. I got to go to the bank. I need a script. I got to go to the pharmacy. I got to go. I was hungry, too. I needed to go to CVS for a few things. And so I'm like, I'm doing everything this morning. I'm doing it all. I feel like shit. And the workout, I swear, the whole workout, I was like, this is the hardest workout ever. I feel like the Maryland football player that died after the punishment drills. This is what he felt like. He was so fucking miserable. And I'm fucking miserable. I don't want to be here. And I got 10 minutes left on the bike. And then Matt's going to want to do this lift and that lift. And I don't want to do it.
I don't feel good.
I did. That's exactly how I felt. I fought through all of it and made it through. And I was like, oh, my God. I know how that guy felt.
When you do fight through all of it, though, man, do you feel good after that. You're like, oh, God, I survived.
I kind of did, I guess, for a little while. But then I had to go to the bank, and then I had to go to CVS, and I had to go to the, and it was like, and then I realized when I got home, I'm like, wow, this is the oldest I've ever acted in my life. I got all these things done to avoid this minus 36 day on Wednesday. How crazy.
I could just see the montage of you running into every different building right here.
With your rocky sweat. When you texted me, you were doing errands like an old person. I'm like an old person?
I meant like...
But now I get it.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah. And you were calling about leaving early, and I was like, Boy, we're all thinking about weather.
Being old
but,
people.
But I think, yeah, being old people. But actually, a lot of people do act that way.
It's...
And, you know, I was thinking even about running...
Well, Mother Nature.
When it's minus 36 wind chill, you start thinking about pipes bursting and stuff. I mean,
yeah?
I know. And I've always been very laissez-faire.
The storm will come, it will go.
I've always been very laissez-faire about these things.
Right. Well, the MSP were... I told Sheila E's person, I was like, the MSP are telling us that we shouldn't be on the road later, so we need
get
to get home early.
Way.
Can we interview her sooner?
Well, that was really nice of her. It's hard to move people like Sheila E is a big name, and it's hard, you know, that was sweet of her.
Maybe
she was really
as big as they've seen.
She was really nice. I hope she does really well at the soundboard on February the 7th.
She will.
Sheila Escobedo. Let's call Maz and find out what's going on at the snow belt. Word is the 4 to 6 here, it's more like 8 to 12 there, possibly. I don't know. I've seen pictures. It's always amazing that Holly, Michigan, somehow, he ends up clearing cars. I mean, you'll think it's 50 and sunny here. It's snowing inches upon inches up there in Holly.
Man.
And he's in the parking lot for hours clearing hundreds of cars for his sales and shoveling job, which he only interviewed for sales. I think some people question the interview process. Should they have called it sales and shoveling? I don't know. But hopefully he'll answer the phone.
And the reparking cars, too. That's.
Did Mark have an unscheduled departure?
Do you know?
Charlotte's. Okay. There's a lot going on at Mark's house.
Yeah.
Two very small children. I just saw, because Julie's grandma died, and so I know there's something coming up. I thought, does he have to go to the...
Yeah, no,
the viewing.
Little kids love getting sick in the middle of some disaster.
She's 101 years old.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and had her wits.
Hey, you reached Tom Mazzaway?
Oh.
Sorry I missed your call.
What?
Give me a message and I'll try you right back.
He's probably in the parking lot.
At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hey, Maz. We're just calling from the podcast to see how severe the snow belt is. Are you getting a room up there for the night? What's going on? I don't know. Some people are making outrageous claims about what's going on in the snow belt of Holly, Michigan.
Are you okay?
Today. We just want to see if it was okay. You usually downplay it, but we just wanted to get
are
the straight
you doing
dope.
Okay.
Thanks, Maz. Call us back.
I wore my snow pants.
Did you really?
I saw that.
Wow, because, snow pants?
Yeah. Because, you know.
On sledding later?
Snow pants. They're kind of cute. I like
don't
those
wear
pants.
That outfit again.
Well, I told Zeus on the way over, I'm like, he goes, you're wearing your snowboard pants? And I'm like, yes, because I was putting them on when he asked. I mean, yes, you can see that I am. And I was like, what happens if the car goes off the road and somebody has to hike for help?
I need to change my pants.
That's really funny.
He scoffed at, and so did Mark, but I still...
We had a lot of
feel like I'll be useful.
We had a lot of early mornings at the Riff on some really snowy. I mean, think of all the days we made it into work when nobody made it to work.
I know.
I feel like. Well, what happened?
They know
somebody's here. Now. Somebody's here.
Quiet.
Layla, easy. Somebody's in the house.
Yeah.
That's how people are coming and going all the time now. Eli and Denny were here today again.
Yep,
they're doing two shows a week.
Did Denny bring
back? Brandon's here earlier. Yeah. Oh, did he bring back our commercials?
Sponsor logs?
He totally forgot, but he did admit that he stole them. He stole our commercial logs.
Denny? What the hell?
Denny's 73, is he? 74?
He's a ball of fire, man.
He is. He's really funny. I know people have very mixed feelings about Denny, but the fact is, he's very funny when you're in his presence. I've seen that phenomenon so many times where people are going, oh, fucking Denny McLean. And 5 minutes later, he's winning them over with the story. He's very charming.
Mm-hmm.
And Eli, and I've talked about Denny many times. Eli is, of course, so frustrated because they had this great show that did so well. And Denny has this, you know, self-destruct thing. And at the same time, Eli says, you know, I love the way our show worked. I thought it was I think he's one of the funniest guys. He's a really funny guy to be around. He just is.
Yeah, and those guys, they really bust each other's chops. They really do.
That's what makes it so
really
good.
Really interesting to hear it's, these guys. And it's not just on the mics either, because as soon as they get here, they're just going right after each other. The show ends, they're going right after each other. So
is Bob Page jumping into the fray?
Oh, absolutely.
On that? Oh, okay.
He starts shit with these guys all the time. So between the three of them, they're really knowledgeable. They have a lot of great throwback stories. I've already learned so much just from doing a few shows with them.
Really?
And that's the No Filter Sports Podcast. You can find it on iTunes and Google Play. And you can go to our site, DrewAndMikePodcast.com, DrewAndMikeShow.com. And there's a drop down that will take you right to Charlie's show and to the No Filter Sports show.
Nice.
I listened to both shows last week. Charlie's about the... Well, Charlie's got a new show now.
What? Another new show?
Yeah, he's got a new show every week. But he had his show about El Chapo was just fantastic.
Really?
The Times writer he had on. Charlie's got great... He's got great context. Eli does, too, to be
Charlie,
honest.
It's very simple. Charlie?
And I listened to No Filter Sports podcast, and... That was a funny show. And again, Denny is always the lightning rod. You know, they're talking about speed guns. And I don't know, Bob's like, yeah, as long as I got to put 102. And he's like, nobody throws over 95. That's a speed gun. It's just for the fans to get excited. And Bob's like, oh, yeah, they do. They'll throw 106. Nobody's ever thrown 106. Denny makes some really strong statements. And I don't think they're always backed up by fact, but a lot of times I find myself agreeing with his most outrageous statements. The speed gun being one of them. I've never trusted speed guns in ballparks.
Really?
Yeah.
I think they run them a little hot.
Like cops do?
Yeah, maybe.
Well, Chapman, right? Chapman with the Yankees. I think he's 105.5 or
I don't know if I believe. I think I'm with Denny on that. I don't know if I believe that. Because I don't think guys would be hitting the ball.
Zumaya was throwing fast.
He was. No,
Verlander still gets it at 100.
Those guys blow amazing heat, but I'm just not sure I believe that.
Yeah.
But yeah, the story came up about how do they time people back in the day, and they had Bob Feller throw a fastball against a motorcycle going, 95 miles an hour?
Yeah, and there's a video of it online. I couldn't believe it, that they actually threw the baseball and put it up against this motorcycle.
So the motorcycle had to pass Bob Feller right as he's releasing the ball?
Oh.
Is that how it worked?
Cool.
Yeah, how did that?
Here it is here.
A racing motorcycle over pitch four.
So he's doing 85.
86 miles per
86,
hour.
Excuse me.
The policeman crosses the pitching line, and there they go. Bingo. Too fast for you? Well, let's go back and do that scene over again.
At the music.
What got there first, the ball
now
or the motorcycle?
See how you look in slow motion. Yes, sir. He's still going 86 miles an hour, but the ultra-speed camera slows him down for you to see better. There he goes, over the line.
Oh, the motorcycle's way ahead of Feller.
Gives him a head start of 10 feet before he throws the ball. Watch the ball now. Bob's pitch is going all the way. It breaks the target right through the bullseye.
Wow.
A few feet in front of the motorcycle.
Fucking hilarious.
Well, where are you, Mr. Policeman? Oh, there you are.
Help me, yeah.
I don't know what your speedometer reads now, but that ball was traveling better than 100 miles an hour. That's plenty fast.
Did Denny agree that the ball was going over 100 miles an hour?
Well, Denny did say that in his heyday, he was throwing mid to upper 90s. So you can get up to 100. I just don't believe that he thinks that these 105s, the 104s, that's really legit. But, someone's got to do it. Chapman does it.
Oh, he throws awful hard.
Yeah.
There was a story today. Did you guys see the thing about the South Carolina restaurant owner who is selling his restaurant because there's a Confederate flag flying in front of it and he cannot get the flag down because there's a group of sons of Confederate veterans who own this tiny piece of land. They said it's about the size of a master bathroom. And they flag Confederate flag on it, and it's right next to his land where he put his restaurant.
So the restaurant has to go.
He said that the Confederate flag flying has caused so much havoc for him, because the shooting at the church, the 9 black people that were killed, and the state house took down the Confederate flag finally,
right?
Which is like, jeez, what does it take to get a Confederate flag taken down? Mm. And meanwhile, he is the subject of a lot of anger from people who know that he's trying to get this flag taken down, and then from people who won't go to his restaurant because there's a Confederate flag flying in front of it. So he says, I can't do this. I'm out. I move my restaurant, or I'm
I see where he's coming from, but why is it such? Why would you not give up on a war that you lost?
You know,
several generations later.
But despite that, I can recall being a kid and I loved the look of the Confederate flag.
I did too. I thought it was cool. It's a cool flag.
I had stickers and I had a Zippo of it. Hell, I even had a buddy when we were like 18 years old. He had an American flag and a Confederate flag kind of tattooed on himself. And then as time went on, especially with this, you know, this stuff that's happened in the last few years, he couldn't take his shirt off anymore. So he had to get that covered up.
What a pain in the ass.
At the time, he didn't mean any racism by it, but it's changed since then.
Yeah. I don't think a lot of people mean anything, but the flag has just become... first of all, you lost the war, okay?
I know. Give up.
Sons of Confederate veterans,
you pushed out.
As far as, like, statues for Confederate...
Sorry, you lost.
...soldiers that died, you know, for the unknown Confederate soldier or something like that, you know, that is a part of our history. I have mixed feelings about that. It is,
but they wanted to, like, leave.
Yeah.
So let's not forget that part.
South Carolina
wanted to go away.
What's his name? Calhoun, Senator Calhoun. Mm. But I don't understand this desire to fly a flag or to show a flag when you lost the war. It was a long time ago. And by the way, sons of Confederate veterans, are you really sons of Confederate veterans? Because Confederate veterans were 18, 22, maybe 25 in 1865.
Right.
Great-grandsons.
So I don't think you're their sons. If you were their sons, you would have been born around 1870, 1875. You'd be, what, 140 years old? 143? You're not the sons of Confederate veterans, so shut up and give up that stupid tiny piece of land. Why are they holding on to this? They pay taxes on that little piece of land, too.
Spite, I'm thinking. But Daughters of the American Revolution, similar. Oh. Give it up. You're not the daughter.
I know.
Anybody in the revolution.
I'm very familiar with the Daughters of the American Revolution. Why? What is it? What planet are they living on? Do they live in Beaver Cleaver? Is there a Beaver Cleaver state somewhere that everyone's just still in the 50s? Everything's in black and white?
There should be. There should be the Daughters of the American Revolution, Beaver Cleaver state.
Sons
and then
of the
Sons of the Confederates can take Mississippi.
Put them all in one state and they can all live the way they want to and all the rest of us can ignore them.
Back in time.
Also, 33 years ago today, the Challenger exploded.
Oh, yeah.
Which is always an interesting thing to look back at. I remember it so well. What station
Houston,
were you
we
at?
Have a problem.
LVQ in Columbus,
Ohio. Columbus.
Yeah.
Were you guys live when it happened?
I was sick that day.
Oh, what?
Of all things.
Really?
Yeah, I'm laying on the couch and I didn't feel good. And
don't feel good.
It would have been the end of the morning show, I think, when it happened.
Yeah,
I want to say
it was
nine,
right towards the end, yeah.
Was it like 9:15 or something?
Yeah, and I was watching the coverage.
Oh,
and
is
then,
someone not feeling well?
And then, the Challenger goes, I was like, yeah, a little, tiny chair, because it happened millions of times, and then all of a sudden that little fork.
Yeah.
Which, and then dead silence.
That was really weird, because that particular, first of all, people used to watch all these blast-offs.
Yeah.
Blast-offs?
Lift-offs.
Lift-offs. Yeah. And
same.
And I think they were losing the excitement, but they had generated a lot of excitement because they were going to have the first school teacher in space, which, of course, I didn't care about.
No,
like,
me either.
Boring! But they made a big deal of it, and so it was there was a lot of interest.
Right.
And I remember seeing that thing. I was in the newsroom because the morning show ended at 9 o'clock. I think I have this right. And when that thing went, like, wait, something right there. There's two conrails.
Right.
But nobody said anything right away.
I know.
Was there a delay?
Because they didn't know what happened. And so they were absolutely cut off.
But you couldn't look
Mission
at the
control,
screen.
They shut up.
Shut up, yeah. You could not look at the screen and not think, wait, something, that wasn't supposed to happen. Yeah. I don't think that was supposed to happen.
No.
And throttle up. And we've seen Christy McAuliffe's parents on the beach watching the liftoff, too.
Oh, wow.
And the parents of the other astronauts are all there.
It's
and
tragic.
So we know all this is going on. Because it was a big deal.
Is now on the way.
Yeah, there it is.
More delays than NASA cares to count. This morning, it looked as though they were not going to be able to get off.
Oh, something happened. Uh-oh.
Yeah, that, I mean, how could you not say, okay, something really fucked up just happened. It looks What does that thing look like?
Hideous, like a fork.
Yeah, nothing's going up anymore.
Wow.
I mean, if I'm the announcer, I'm going, okay, this thing is really screwed up.
The solid rocket boosters blew away from the side of the shuttle.
But then?
In an explosion.
It wasn't as bad as I thought. There's just this giant cloud in the sky.
And because the teacher, you know, was on there, that, you know, every single class was airing this. And so you had a lot of kids. This was their first big traumatic event, the first thing they remember.
Hey, you know, people who were in school when this was happening, it's funny. I've never thought about this. What did your teacher do when that happened? Did they just go, okay, I'm just going to turn off the TV. That was cool. Great.
Yeah, let's go play outside.
Or did you actually sit there and watch and go, wow, teacher's dead. They're all dead. Well, that sucks. Okay, let's do some math now. Or did they send you home? Or what did they do? Did they call in grief counselors? I mean, that was a big deal. It was a huge thing. And Reagan gave I remember Reagan spoke to the nation that night.
Yeah.
Ronald Reagan.
I mean, that was the first major failure of the U.S. space program. And then it happened again.
You know, I was thinking about Reagan today because... You know, he's a two-term Republican. Economy was pretty, well, not the beginning. We had high interest rates in the early 80s.
Right. There were 16%.
Yeah, very high. Well, that was Jimmy Carter. You know, he was blamed for it.
Of course, he got shot.
Wait a minute, man. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Somebody just told me that President Reagan and some other people have been shot. I'd just like to say that I hope they're not hurt badly.
And I'm sure a lot of people like me found out from Elvis, who was recording and took the time out to comment on it after being handed a piece of paper, according to Major Bill. That's how that happened, which is hilarious. But anyway, I was thinking about Reagan today, and I remember he gave a very eloquent speech.
Yeah, he was great at that.
He was. And sort of in my brain, I was going, you know, boy, it seemed like much... smoother times back then. I mean, people generally liked Reagan. But then I was thinking about Iran-Contra and how, I mean, there was not universal love for Ronald Reagan.
No.
There was a lot of anger.
Well.
And also, the tax reform was not terribly popular with a lot of people on the left because, but you didn't have this constant... banging, you know, like, of course, you didn't have the internet, so how can you even...
Or a 24-hour news cycle.
Right, and we had three network stations.
We did have headline news then. I mean, we had... CNN was around in 86.
Yeah.
Late 80s. I mean, headline news was becoming pretty significant. I just wonder if Reagan was president now, I wonder if he could unify... Because he was a unifying kind of guy. I think he intended to. His policies didn't always unify people. And he had some people like Ed Meese who were very unpopular. You know, with, in fact, I remember Ed Meese going after a lot of people. And it just seemed like... I mean, you know... sort of big bad, you know, the man going after a lot of people for, you know, for music and morals and bullshit. I mean, there's a lot of that.
Were they trying to distract from Iran-Contra?
Probably, to some degree. I think that's that always exists because, you know, why is the far right, why is it always so religious?
Morals.
It's always in there. I don't understand that. Just like I don't understand the left. I mean, it seems like both parties are so... associated with the farthest elements, and I don't get it. And that's why I always thought, you know, that seems like an independent candidate. Well, they never do. They never do well. Yeah. They don't have they just don't have the infrastructure, I guess. Thomas A. Masway is on the phone.
Uh-oh.
But I wonder how much vitriol there would be if Ronald Reagan was president. Probably a lot.
Well, probably.
Not as much.
But I think an eloquent speech or handling things in a dignified manner
makes
kind of a difference.
But the policies, his policies were...
They were pretty...
tax reform. What happened was...
Ollie North.
Yeah, Ollie North. Well, that was Iran-Contra. The highest bracket started paying 31%. The bracket below the highest bracket was paying 33%, I believe. That was Reagan's tax reform. It's like, wait, so you make less and you pay more? What? Because of trickle down, you know.
That
so that was...
I was thinking about this the other day. That was my dad declared there had to be an austerity program. And I'm like,
ooh,
what's an austerity program? I had no idea what it meant for me, but and it was bad.
Thomas A. Mazaway.
Hey, guys.
Tom, how we are getting deluged by snow, a deluge of snow. I have to believe Holly is a mess.
It is a disaster up here.
Is there talk of a national emergency?
Yes, a state of emergency up here in Holly. No question about it.
How many cars have you? Do you have your snowsuit today?
I do. I got my my snowsuit all ready to go. I fell once already today, so I'm doing good.
You fell once? Were you tended to? Did you need medical attention?
They don't give a shit.
There's actual audio, Maz falling.
Yeah. I was ouch.
Did someone help you up?
No, it was nobody saw me fall. It was a fall in between cars, which is tough.
Whoa.
Yeah.
We've gotten some reports of that earlier. Some people felt that the fall was, that perhaps the fall didn't happen.
This is my second fall in 2 weeks.
Some people feel that one didn't happen either, but I'm just saying.
Didn't happen either? Okay.
That's what some people are saying. I don't know, because nobody saw it. You're the only witness, apparently.
I am. I know. The only way I could prove it is if there was a camera out in the lot somehow, and I could back it.
Yeah, I don't know if you're going to want to be rooting for a camera to have been there. I'm not. Oh, it's crazy. So, are you saying you brushed off a lot of cars today?
No, I haven't brushed off a lot. I brushed off a couple because was actually lucky enough that I had a great customer come in this morning to save me from shoveling, and I wound up selling a truck to him.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Is there anybody we should know?
It's just a friend of the podcast, Bob Geddes.
Well, that's someone we should know.
Bob Geddes of Warren.
Oh, your boy T-Maz ready to step up to the mic. Sounds like it's time for a
shout-out.
He sold a car. It's your birthday. You're a celebrity. How's your grandma? Friend of the show. You're related. You're
Bob
not
Geddes.
Related. He just met you. You like Seinfeld. You like big girls. Too Mandy Moore.
All girls.
You sent a t-shirt. Who's going to ship it? It's not a sports podcast.
So a big shout out to Bob Geddes.
Yeah, Bob Geddes.
Bob Geddes.
His son Anthony bought a car for me last year. So
wow.
Nice.
Anthony.
There's another shout out. Well, that's
and
great.
Guess what?
It sounds
I'm
like...
on my way now for my second delivery of the day.
Whoa. Man,
I'm delivering a car to somebody's house again in Warren, home of Jim Faust.
No kidding. And was the second one related to the show?
Yes.
Really?
It sounds... you know Mr. Matt, our friend Mr. Matt?
Yes. Boy, shout out to Bill.
That's our friend, Joe Kendrick.
Oh, your boy T-Maz ready to step up to the mic. Sounds like it's time for a
shout out.
He sold a car.
Mrs. Matt.
Matt, Maz, are you having, it sounds like you're having a good month over there.
I've really pulled a decent month together in the shitty conditions. Yeah.
Sweet. That's good.
It's a good bounce back month.
Because usually there's a big scramble at the end of the month, but it seems like the first part of the month was pretty good.
Yeah, I've done all right. So the middle of the month was good, and now this is the last week of the month. Thursday, it ends the month, so
we can
get some peeps in. We got some good deals going.
Isn't auto that show auto money. Show? Yeah, I was going to say auto show deals.
That auto show bonus cash.
Now, Trudy, I've seen Trudy at the auto show like 10 times on pictures.
You saw me there?
You must have lived there.
I was there twice.
Okay.
Tuesday and Friday.
That's living there.
You
that's
were busy on
there.
Twitter.
No, I did take a well, you're supposed to, so.
Yeah.
Not that I'm trying to be a show-off, but.
No,
it did have fun.
What a nice picture that
away.
Is. Look at that.
Yeah, Maz was down there, I think. Weren't you looking at some Jeeps for Lily?
Oh, yeah, sure, yeah. That's what I was doing, yeah.
I know. It's a lot of pressure when the kids start earning pools and cars and you got to come up with them somehow.
Matter of fact, I got a funny quick story for you. I just got off the phone. Abby calls me out of the blue, my daughter Abby.
Yes.
She's like, Daddy, are you still looking to do a trip for Mom's 50th birthday? And I'm like, yeah, we're still looking to see what we can do. And she's like, because we'd really, really, I just really feel bad. I really think that we should all go on vacation. I really want to go on a vacation.
It was her idea?
So Abby is really pushing to get Kathy some type of trip that we could all go on.
Oh, okay, so this trip isn't for you and Kathy. It's for the whole family.
Yeah.
I was confused.
We're going to do a whole family 50th.
Okay. I thought maybe for Kathy's birthday. Okay. I really missed the point.
That's what Kathy thought, actually. I'm pretty sure that I put my foot in my mouth and with Kathy, and I don't think she was talking to me much yesterday. I'm pretty sure that was the reason.
I'm sorry to hear that.
You blew it!
Maz,
I know.
Any comment on the Super Bowl? We're just days away. It's not a sports podcast, but you know we have Brian, our correspondent down there in Atlanta, who he's the guy that got the Patriots tattoo
for Super Bowl 53
winner, and he's down there being a correspondent. You'll talk to him tomorrow. But anything going on Super Bowl wise that's of interest to you?
Well, you know, I'm rooting for the Rams. I'd root for Russia against the Patriots, but you know that's just the way it is.
Of course.
I want them to lose, but they'll probably win. But that's just the way it goes. And I hope the game's good. I hope I win some squares. And I'm pretty much, I get it. I know Brady's going to win one and keep going and cheating his way to the Hall of Fame.
Did you hear about the kid with the science project that proved Brady was cheating?
Of course I did. I love that kid. I want to adopt him.
Did you?
You don't need another kid.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah,
not.
I like kids. I'll take another kid.
Bobby.
He's 10. He might fit in. Age wise,
he fit right in.
And he needs some testosterone in that house.
Did you guys get a chance to watch the Pro Bowl for like a minute yesterday?
Maz, that was why did they even play? They're playing two hand touch,
so
aren't they? What is that?
No tackling.
So bad. Oh. It was so bad.
I mean,
I actually liked the Pro Bowl. But, I'm the only one.
But were they actually tackling people?
Right. No. It was the worst. It was the worst showing of an All-Star game ever.
I saw highlights today, and I didn't understand why did they do this.
I don't know. And it was raining. It was half filled. It was bad.
Oh, that highlight though. That fucking highlight though.
I saw those highlights.
It was quite a highlight.
They were terrible. It was laughable.
Hey, Maz, are you going to vote for Howard Schultz?
Howard Schultz?
Yeah, the CEO of Starbucks.
He's running for
president.
Yeah, he'll get my vote, sure. Why not?
Wait,
he'll
CEO...
get the fuck out of Starbucks.
Oh, get him out of Starbucks.
Starbucks.
He's the problem at Starbucks. Oh, okay.
All right, well,
Is he a Seattle guy?
Yeah, I think he bought the first Starbucks in Seattle in 86, didn't they say, in 60 Minutes?
Right, yeah, Pike Street Market.
Uh-huh.
So he's paying his people big bucks, aren't they? Don't they have like an $18
benefits.
An hour? All that kind of stuff?
They're a pretty good company. I mean, as far as, you know, it's not a skilled job. You don't have to have a college degree, and yet they do have health insurance, I think. I think they're pretty good to their people.
He is from New York. He went to Northern Michigan University, but then, yes.
Oh, the Wildcat.
He did start Starbucks out there in Seattle.
By the way, Trudy,
Dr. Evil.
You saw him on 60 Minutes?
Yeah.
Do you think it was weird that they brought up that story that his dad beat the shit out of him while he was in the shower?
Yeah, a bit. I was sort of uncomfortable hearing about that.
Since they brought that up, I thought they were going to go, and you got a boner during the fight? During this nude fight? I mean, it's just like, father beating you up while you're nude in the shower? It just seems so weird to me. It's like, how do you defend yourself?
What's the smell of ass and balls, you nappy motherfucker, you?
And then,
what did he do to deserve that beating? What did he do?
He disrespected his mom.
He's sassy.
He couldn't wait till he got out of the shower?
No.
Why not?
Yeah, I thought that was
pretty weird.
It was an odd exchange.
Kind of. And then, what's his name wanted to know?
Watching
Scott Pelley was like, so you hated him. And, and then I got great seats at the Yankees game, so I was into it.
Yeah. We sat in the right field bleachers at the Yankees game and made it all worthwhile.
Good times.
Hey, that's the kid who knows the stuff right there. Obviously.
Yeah, it was odd. All right, Maz, well, I'm glad to hear things are coming along, and you got a couple days to hopefully wrap up the month, and hopefully we'll get some people out there. And
Wear some boots with more tread there so they're not falling. You can't fall
that
way.
These are new Christmas boots. I thought they'd be good.
Christmas boots.
Isn't that adorable?
Christmas boots. from Kathy?
Santa got him.
Oh, Santa. How nice.
Goddamn shoes.
And he still says it's Santa a month later. How about that? How adorable,
so cute,
Maz.
Yeah.
All right,
Happy New Year, guys.
Good luck with the snow out there. I know how bad it is.
Thanks, man. Thanks for thinking of me.
Okay,
now,
Maz.
Have a great night. All right? Because there's a lot of other guys at the gay bar who need to use it, all right?
We'll see you tomorrow.
All right. My pleasure.
Okay, Maz.
I didn't want to say this when he was still on the phone.
I think he's gone.
He's off.
At the Euchre party over the weekend, I found out that two of our neighbors, Aaron and Josh Bidlowski, both big podcast listeners, both Spartans, got their Spartan and podcast discount from Jimmy D.
What?
Yeah.
Is that so?
Yes.
Well, isn't that interesting? Why didn't they inform me of this? I am hearing from more Jimmy D people lately. It's like,
Jimmy!
I needed to know this, but Jimmy D knew. Yeah. No, we did okay.
Went right in and demanded it at Star Lincoln.
Yeah, Jimmy, Star Lincoln, they're doing something different. They're not in the podcast, not because they hate us. They're just not doing radio, I don't think.
Coasting now?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if they're coasting. We sent many people in there, they don't need advertising anymore.
No, they still have a few people trickling in, they were saying. So
I know.
Six callers ahead of us, Jimmy.
And they said they walked in and a bunch of people descended on them, and they're like, no, we will only see Jimmy D. So.
Exactly. Yeah.
Jimmy!
I know, I'm...
And Mark's not here to take pride in all that.
No, I wish we could have the same advertisers forever. And like I said previously, I wish our advertisers didn't care if it worked or not. That would be great, too. It'd be so easy.
Right?
But it is a little different having advertisers that you hear from. But things have been really good. I mean, generally speaking.
By the way, I killed at cards, man.
Did you? You killed at Euchre?
I did.
Wow.
I just threw caution to the wind, and that's the way to play, man.
Nice.
Yeah, you got to have... balls in cards.
I know. Developed some balls, apparently.
Yeah,
I play cards with J.D. Shellnut, chief of police, to kiss my ass, you little bastard.
You know, we used to play spades all the time.
Oh, I love spades.
I do, too. I love spades. It's a great team game, too.
Yeah, spades and hearts is...
Hearts is fun, yeah. I never got into euchre, though. I think I need to learn how to play euchre one of these days.
Euchre's fun.
People love euchre.
Yeah.
All right, get us out of here, Brandon. To investigate what's gone wrong in Mark's world.
Right. And Layla thinks it's time to go, too.
It's funny. Mark's taken many emergency calls in the course of the podcast.
Yeah.
And usually he just sort of disappears for a couple minutes.
And comes back.
And he's back.
Yeah.
And rarely leaves the room. Rarely leaves his microphone, even. But this one looked to be Charlotte. Charlotte was sick.
Yeah. Poof.
That's all we know.
Yeah, I think so. Maybe someone's got a tummy ache. I'm not sure.
You said you had a really high temperature last night, and
Charlotte
ebbed during the day. But that's, that's kind of the way those things go. Like fevers increase overnight. So.
Well, two little ones. Thank God the baby Annie.
Yeah.
Very low maintenance.
Yes,
seems
I know.
To be. It doesn't seem that way when you have two kids, that one is always very, cries a lot, doesn't sleep well. The other one is just an angel.
Me. That was me.
Oh, you're a good baby?
My daughter's an angel. Happy as can be.
That's what I mean.
She didn't get sick once over Christmas, and we had to suck some boogers out of her nose, but she wasn't that upset about it. She's just chill.
Oh, what's up with people in your lineage getting orifices clogged up?
I don't know. A little common cold. Sometimes you got to suck the boogers out.
I was an 8-pound, 8-ounce baby, so I was...
I was 9 pounds, 15 ounces.
Whoa, really?
My brother was 10'2".
Oh, my God.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Jesus. Huge.
Huge. I know. I never hear babies that big anymore.
I know. They're all seven.
Make them smaller. How big was Madeline?
7'3".
Really?
Sounds about right. All right. Well, Maz will be here tomorrow, and hopefully we all survive this cold weather and the snow. We'll see you. Be careful.
Get out of here.